Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly call. Today is Monday, November 6, 2023. Tonight's meeting is a special meeting with all county committees of safety organizers to discuss national concerns, strategies, and the importance for the county committees to unite statewide and nationally to address these concerns and strategies. Because united we stand and divided we will continue to fall. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. to 11 p.m. Eastern Time. And on the first Monday of every month, we hold a special meeting with all county committees of safety organizers. All National Liberty Alliance's members and non-members are invited to participate. Please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of the website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. You can also support us by purchasing the books, Government by Consent and Court Access in the Common Law, also found on the right-hand side of our website. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on a donation tab on the top right side of our website. Okay, we'll pick up where we left off last week with our scripture reading. We're in the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, chapter 9. Read by Alexander Scorby. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 by Alexander Scorby.
Chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are ye in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard, and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth the flock, and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man? Or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses, Thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, is it a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things? If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar? Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things. Neither have I written these things that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glorying void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway.
Okay, so tonight we're going to be looking into organizing your county committee of safety and approaching your sheriff. We're also going to take a look at some things that are taking place today across the country and around the world. Ultimately, we've entered into World War III. Many people may not realize it or see it yet, but those who are paying attention, it's become quite clear. And things are about to get quite dicey, and I think we should talk a little bit about it. So first I'm going to do an introduction concerning, organizing the County Committee of Safety and approaching your sheriff. It's probably about 15 minutes long. And then we're going to look at a couple of pieces of video I put together, and then we'll open up for a discussion. We look through these things and go through the videos. We'll open up for any questions that might be pertinent to this week's topics that have been sent to us by email. So first, we'll of course look into. Let's see, we'll pick it up at the beginning here. Okay. Organizing your county committee of safety and approaching your sheriff. You find all the organizing information that we're going to discuss here today, that we discussed last week, and we'll be discussing throughout the, last month actually, and in this month, all the information you can find under handbooks, videos, and tools found under Start a Committee of Safety. And as time goes on, we'll be looking into other topics, which we may find in different areas throughout the site. But most of the information we'll be discussing for at least the next few months will be found on the Start a Committee of Safety. Okay, the County Committee of Safety is government by consent. And we need to come together and bring together the general committee and then subcommittees. These committees are extremely important. The first committee that's created is the Committee of Correspondence, and ultimately that is created the moment that someone signs up to be responsible to, try to organize a committee of safety, and that person can change that to another person at any time they want. A committee of correspondence should be at least two people. Three or four is fine, but two people bare minimum. The most important committees beyond that, of course, is the Educational Committee, the Political Committee, and the Judicial Committee. The Education Committee is probably the first committee that everyone should start working on immediately and start preparing to meet the sheriff, but organizing as many people as possible into that Educational Committee. We're going to get into more detail about that next in our next meeting. We're going to talk about how to approach the schools, how to take back the schools, how to remove people from the board that are not doing the will of the people within the community. There is a process. And many other things, and how we're going to be able to grow your committees. Once you start working that educational committee, we're going to show you how you can grow your entire general committee in leaps and bounds and start filling the positions for political committees, judicial committees. Now, also we have the militia committee, which we may not spend too much time on for a while, but ultimately everyone coming into the committee is part of the militia, because the militia is every able-bodied person. And, of course, we need to work together with the sheriff in all of these things. The political committee and the judicial committee is the way we take back our government. But again, the education committee is the beginning of saving our children and taking back to schools our educational processes, even back right into the colleges and universities. So for more information, click on NLA's directory tab to find or start your county committee of safety. So that be underneath the underneath the directory tab. So anybody that like to get involved in the committee of safety, can someone hit the mute button there for me, please? Anyone can get in there. Maybe turn on the queue. Maybe someone could turn the queue on. Okay, anyway, under directory tab, you'll be able to find your state and your county, see if anyone started a committee of safety, and if not, maybe you'd start one. But if there's someone there, you can make the phone call, make the connection, and join in with whatever it is, you know, that they're doing in order to bring this together. Committee of Safety, critical mindset. Don't ask what the limits of our power is. Liberty knows no limit. We simply do what is honest and just. The people need no permission to act. And yes, we can make it up as we go and as we see fit. That's the prerogative of a king. We the people ordained and established the Constitution for the United States. We are the potter. They are the clay. Legislators are authorized under the Constitution, ordained by the people, to write statutes and codes enforced as law. To control the behavior of bureaucrats, municipalities, government agencies, elected officials, interstate commerce, but not the people, whose rights are unalienable and cannot be legislated. Once Republicans and Democrats realize our Constitution does not authorize Congress to legislate behavior, politics will finally outgrow its pathetic effectiveness. And if we follow Thomas Jefferson's advice of peace and commerce, an honest friendship with all nations, entangling alliance with none, America's greatest days would lie ahead. Three independent committees, non-statutory, also known as the County Committee of Safety. We are the true committeemen, the people that come together in the county. There is no limit to the number of people. The statutory committeeman process, which was seized probably 100 years ago, 50 years ago, I don't know when it was seized, but it's been done away with for quite some time and replaced with party bosses. And I think it goes back well over 100, 150 years. This whole political process of the right against the left, the black against the right, the Jew against the Gentile, I mean, this goes on and on and on and on. Divided we fall. We must unite. committeemen, the true committeemen, again, are the people. It's an unalienable right. You don't have to go through any special hoops to get involved. You don't have to place yourself underneath some party with a party boss in it. No, once we get involved with this and we really start to form the necessary committees across America, the elected committeemen or the statutory committeemen, let's call it that, they're not really elected anyway, but the statutory committeemen, they'll start to fall away. And many of them will come over to work with what we're doing. Committeemen interview candidates and fill political vacancies with statesmen that know the law of the land. Committeemen decide who gets on to the ballot. Committeemen monitor the hand counting of the vote in public. You know, right now they count the votes at the county level, and that's why it takes so long and it becomes difficult. All the information, all the data, anything that's paper, everything is sent to the county level, and then they have the parties get together, whoever's controlling it, and there's a lot of cheating going on, and they count on the county level. It was never done like that, and it's never meant to be done like that. Counting of the votes should be done right there at the election district, tabulated, and then sent up the line, certifying the votes, and we the people need to be monitoring that. So the committee will monitor the hand counting of the votes in public in each election district. And that could be done rather quickly. You can literally have all the voting done easily before midnight. 3 hours maybe would take maybe the cities and different places where maybe the election districts are a little larger, they have a lot more. But then they'd also have a lot more people that are hired in order to do the counting of the vote, and also the committee, we the people on the grassroots level, committees of safety being the true committeemen, we would be available there to watch the counting of the vote, to make sure that it's done correctly and put our certification on it too. Committeemen monitor elected individuals to ensure they don't overstep their authority. Committeemen, this is what the political committee does. Committeemen can recall elected individuals who do not honor their oath. Committeemen can end the two-party system. Committeemen can run educational campaigns in their election districts. Committeemen can monitor elected individuals to ensure they don't overstep their authority. Committeemen solve problems with bureaucrats reported by the people from their election district. Committeemen visit schools to initiate programs educating our children and college students in political science, judicial processes, and ethics alongside the sciences and mathematics. Committeemen educate and encourage a sense of duty among the people. Committeemen can enforce the Republic Review, where the states come together to remove unconstitutional legislation. Committeemen can force legislation for term limits. And we could do that just by not carrying their papers. You know, we can force them to write the necessary legislation, but we can also just not carry their papers. And that's what puts them on the ballot. United we stand, divided we fall. Let us not split into factions which must destroy that union upon which our existence hangs. Patrick Henry. The resolve of the County Committee of Safety is to promote an educated citizenry, which is required in order to have government by consent, thereby ending government encroachment upon our liberties. The common goal of each Committee of Safety is to teach the people what they have forgotten. This requires an understanding of how a natural law republic was established by the providence of nature's God and how it works. Every member of the County Committee of Safety must be active and properly educated. As Jefferson said, if a people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. Eternal diligence is required in order to secure liberty. There are no problems with the Committee of Safety that the Committee of Safety cannot solve. And there are many initiatives that your Committee of Safety must advance within their respective counties, such as bringing in a proper education back into our schools, prevent Agenda 21, monitor fair election, remove tyrants and criminals from office, end political factions, enforce the law of the land, etc. But after forming your Committee of Safety General Committee, the first order of business is to form and initiate the following subcommittees in order to gain a power and take back our unalienable right of government by consent. And once this is accomplished, we will be empowered to bind down our government servant with the chains of the Constitution. The Committee of Safety in general is responsible for addressing problems, and all subcommittees are to report their findings to the Committee of Safety General Committee members for discussion and consideration, and to consider the subcommittee's proposed solutions. Contact NLA's Committee of Correspondent District Coordinators, who will assist your Committee of Safety with solving problems, solving legal challenges, and etc. You can find your District Coordinator under the Directory tab. Now, all the positions aren't filled for our, as far as the District Coordinators are concerned. If anybody's interested in volunteering for those positions, just get a hold of Jan at nationallibertyalliance.org. So we do need to fill up some positions. But you'll find someone along that list, and you can always give a call to our leadership there and find out who might be available that can help. Okay. Subcommittee, Committee of Correspondence. This committee is responsible for addressing unconstitutional government activities and correspond with other county committees of correspondence in order to share solutions and work on common problems that affect our counties within their state or across our nation. You can go to our National Issues tab under Start a Committee of Safety tab and read about proposed national issues that we need to address. NLA's Committee of Correspondence will meet once a month to discuss the issues and brainstorm other issues that we will post on said national issue page. The strategy is for the County Committee of Safety to discuss the issues and bring the issues back to their general committee for action by contacting our congressional representatives to demand that they solve the issues as we address them. If our representatives do not respond positively, let them know if they are going to if they are going to continue to disobey, as we will recall them. We will recall them or not support their candidacy if the election is close. If enough County Committee of Safety force their obedience, we will succeed. This is why it is important to initiate County Committees of Safety in our neighborhood counties, to form County Committees of Safety and work together on national and state issues. The chairman of the political committee is responsible for contacting our representatives on these issues, and the general committee will act in one accord to remove these unfaithful servants if necessary. See Non-Statutory Committeeman Handbook for details, information, and instructions. And you can contact NLA's Committee of Correspondence Coordinator, who will assist with solving problems, legal challenges, etc. For right now, the best solution is really to come to a Monday night program if you need something solved, if you need some assistance, you need some legal advice, or whatever the case may be, and we can deal with those issues here on a Monday night program. So we do meet every Monday, although we are focusing first Monday of the month on committees of safety. But we are available throughout the month on every Monday, and we can answer any question you have. If we don't have an answer, we'll find it for you. Okay, your educational committee. This committee is responsible for visiting schools within their county, elementary to college, and require that civics, constitutional studies, real American history, court access is taught, and that anything being taught in these schools that are destructive to our national law republic must cease immediately. Remember, all schools receive federal funding, and they are required to teach civics or lose their funding. Also, this is why your education committee should be busy in their communities, campaigning for an education of the people and encouraging their participation. These people should go to the school boards with your committee to force compliance. Like I said, on our next monthly meeting, NLA will teach how to require obedience from the school and town boards, and if they refuse, how they can be held accountable and be removed from their office within 10 days, and their positions can be seized. Political committee. This committee is responsible for receiving, contacting, and communicating with individuals interested in filling political positions and reporting back to the full committee those candidates that are worthy of our support. Whereas the entire Committee of Safety will act as the true non-statutory committeeman to get these candidates into the ballot by walking, designating petitions. For more details on this process, you can go to download the handbooks and download the Committee of Safety Committeeman Handbook. A natural law republic such as the United States cannot survive the continuance of political parties that are private association initiated by the bar attorneys and designed to be controlled by party bosses. As President George Washington said in his farewell address, he put it this way. Parties lead to despotism, serve to organize division, ruin public liberty, kindle animosity of one part against another, put in the place of the delegated will of the nation, the will of the party elite.
Did you close the door? Just stop.
Can someone please mute everyone?
Okay.
Undermine the Constitution, which could not be directly overthrown, distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration, drive the spirit of revenge and open the doors to foreign influence and corruption. Thus, the policy and the will of one country will be subjected to the policy and will of another. Washington concluded, parties are truly your worst enemies. Committees of Safety. Counties, can someone hit the queue, enter the queue, so that we'll get all silence in here? Hopefully, I'm coming through. Am I coming through, by the way? Because I think I was muted.
How do you do the Q&A?
You dropped out a little bit, John.
Jen, could you put us into Q&A? I can't get over to that control box right now. Jen?
Love you guys.
Can you put us into Q&A? Okay, I'll have to stop this so I can do it. Hang on a second.
Okay, never mind.
It's going now. All right, let me go back here. Okay, let me reread what Washington said in his farewell address. Parties lead to despotism, serve to organize division, ruin public liberty, kindle animosity of one part against another, put in the place of the delegated will of the nation the will of the party elite, undermine the Constitution, which could not be directly overthrown, distract the public councils and enfeeble the public administration, drive the spirit of revenge and opens the doors to foreign influences and corruption. Thus, the policy and the will of one country will be subjected to the policy and the will of another. Washington concluded, parties are truly your worst enemies. Republic cannot survive political parties. And we've seen we're coming to the end of our republic because of political parties. We need to get rid of them. That and bar associations. And NLA does have a plan to do that, to take care of that, to get rid of these people. And we could do that through the courts. All right, anyway, and we can't do that until, of course, we get through devolution and get just courts again. Committees of safety can overtake and replace the statutory committeemen and end the private party association that have been destroying our republic since its inception by just exercising the natural law right of government by consent. The Judicial Committee. This committee is responsible for filling jury administrative positions whenever there is a vacancy. Each county needs 4 jury administrators and 1 paralegal secretary. These are paid positions and require special training. NLA provides that training and certification. These administrators will work together in every county to restore the law of the land by resurrecting common law and common law rules in our courts. This committee will assist the people with bureaucratic problems, and if unable to solve the problem, they will notify the jury administrators who are trained to solve the problem. By the way, committee, these positions, jury administrators, are full-time paid positions. The Militia Committee. This committee is responsible for restoring and organizing restoring the organized and unorganized militia within their respective counties. It is the duty of every Committee of Safety member to participate. We should look for an existing militia within your county to invite them to join and help the COS in their endeavor. We should look to ex-military and the sheriff for assistance in organizing and training. See the Militia Handbook found under the Starter Committee of Safety tab. For detailed information and instructions, and contact NLA's Militia Director, who will assist with solving problems. Right now we don't have one. Legal challenges, and etc. It is extremely important for county militias to be corresponding with other county committees and plan a coordinated yearly statewide event. Okay, first order of business. Follow step-by-step instructions in the Committee of Safety Organizing Handbook and proposed charter and revolution forms found at Handbooks, Videos, and Tools tab under the Starter Committee of Safety tab. Once you have 6 or more people, organize your seminar to introduce the Committee of Safety to the people. Instructions and PowerPoint videos are found, again, in the same place under the Starter Committee of Safety tab. Plan and have your monthly meetings. Keep the first Monday of the month open for national meetings. At the first meeting, adopt your charter and resolutions. Find both documents at Handbook, Videos, and Tools tabs, again found under the Starter Committee of Safety tab. It is important to maintain the form structure and add to it as necessary. You can change or add to your charter and resolution at future meetings. You can go to Staples or Office Max or Max or any other place similar to that to get a seal. Find examples on page 18 of the handbook. Have them print out your charter and resolution and bind them. Use your seal to seal them. Purchase the book Government by Consent found under Books by John Duresh. I think that's, found under the Welcoming tab. Then contact your sheriff for a short meeting. no more than 5 to 10 minutes. Introduce your committee of safety, give them a copy of your charter, resolutions, and the book, Government by Consent. Then invite them to your next month's committee of safety meeting. Find more details in the handbook, page 18. It's important to read through that handbook. What you should do is just read through the handbook from the beginning to the end and then go back and start working through the process little by little. But get the whole picture. You know, get the see exactly everything that we need to do, but then start from the beginning and just follow through the process. United we stand. The County Committee of Safety is Government by Consent. Okay, that brings us to the end of that for now, and what we're going to do is I'm going to play a few videos, then we're going to move into Q&A. And these are pretty, you know, we've got some disturbing problems, and the United States is under attack already, not necessarily much in the way of violence, but it's very close to it, but it's about to get to that point. It's coming to American soil. There's a lot of things that are happening. I kind of hope maybe a lot of people that are listening in, they're kind of tapped in. We've given people a lot of different information. We've shared information over the years at different places where we can get good news, alternative news, people who are consistent and constant and bring forth the truth. So hopefully, at least most of us, hopefully already aware of the things we're going to cover today. But you may not be aware of all of it, and some may not be aware of any of it. So we're going to go through this. First, we're going to be going through about four videos, but only sections of the videos. First one we're going to look at is 4 minutes long. So let's look at this, and we're not playing the whole video, just 4 minutes of it.
President Biden's problems at the border are about to get a lot worse. So right now, the largest migrant caravan in over a year is marching right towards the United States. It is said to be up to 7,000 people strong. One of the organizers of the caravan is speaking out, and he says President Biden should have seen it coming.
Joe Biden administration has lost the ball, has lost the power, and America has not been paying attention to what's happening. Every country has been just providing the rights, charging them $20, $30, or $40, and then just pushing them in, all the way to the Mexican border. Where's the American intelligence? Don't they know that all the countries are conspiring against the United States to make sure they have this crisis?
I'm confused. He's the organizer.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so this happening as Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas refuses to say how many illegal immigrants have been released into the country.
How many people has this administration let into the country?
Let me say at the outset that our job would be a lot easier if the broken immigration system was...
No, Mr. Secretary, I want a number. How many people have you let into this country?
I should also...
I'll give you the number. It's about 6 million. About 1.7 million as known gotaways. Where are all these people residing? Where did the 6 million people go?
Senator, you speak of encounters, and let me
Would you answer my questions? Where did these 6 million people go? Are you keeping track of them?
When an individual is indeed released, they are released into immigration enforcement proceedings.
Kellyanne, a border crisis and disaster of this magnitude would be the biggest problem for any administration, but for the Biden administration, it's like the fourth biggest crisis that are on their plates right now.
And this is true chaos and crisis, not just in a tweet or in the press briefing room. This is real. And you have a Homeland Security Secretary who's probably been under oath a dozen times or more testifying to Congress, who can never answer these questions because he's not willing to answer them truthfully, so he doesn't answer them at all. He doesn't know how many people, he doesn't know who they are, how many they are, where they are, why they're here, if they'll ever stop coming. And it is the number one disapproval rating for Joe Biden on any major issue is border security and immigration. And I think it's been super smart for this issue to not just be seen about immigration, but also border security, because there are lots of people who don't want to talk about immigration. They say it's about people. You get so many more young people, voters of color, suburban women, on your side when you talk about border security, because there they see we're trying to stop the fentanyl, number one killer of 18 to 45-year-olds in our nation. This is about national sovereignty. People in this country know, Dana, we have spent billions of dollars over decades defending the borders of other countries, and they think it's high time we do it here. The Siena College poll that came out here in New York, I thought was just eye-popping week before last or last week. What did it say? Well, it said, we have tripartisan agreement in New York, of all places. A majority of Democrats, a majority of Republicans, a majority of independents all say that, quote, the migrants in New York is a serious problem, 8 in 10 overall. Downstate, upstate, male, female, Catholics, majority of Jewish people in New York, everybody agrees this is a problem. And they say they agree with Eric Adams that it's going to, quote, destroy New York City. Now, that's in New York, where Joe Biden's under 50% against Donald Trump, right, a state he won massively. This is the issue that also France is dealing with now, Germany, the Swiss just elected someone who is running on this. So it's everywhere, and I think if you're losing people in New York who are living with it every single day, it tells you something about the rest of the nation.
Well, Harold, to that point, the 9 million...
Okay, there, of course there's a lot more, but we can't play it all. Again, we're just playing pieces of this, and people, World War III has started, and we're well entrenched in it. Let's go to the next one. Okay, this one here is, let's see, this is the longest one we have. It's 13 minutes long.
That the deep state players through Soros, Obama, and the rest, they infiltrated every single country because they needed the infiltrator, the population of the infiltrators, to be much, much larger than the government. So the government of the countries couldn't do anything. And actually, we're already starting to see this. And Wokeness put this out on X and said, British police officer on why they remove the British flags but not the Palestinian flags, because there's way more of them than there are of us. Out in Germany, young Islamists in Germany say Muslims will become the majority in Germany, abolish the German constitution, and introduce Sharia law. Europe has been underestimating the threat posed by Islamism. Is it becoming clear now of what Soros and the rest, what they have done? They infiltrated every single country. They didn't invade the country and take it over. They infiltrated the countries, and now there's many, many of these individuals. Look at Berlin. I mean, this is just unbelievable. There's a large anti-Israel protest in Berlin, and it's as far as the eye can see. Now, this is Germany, where they have the Holocaust. Now, you have these people marching in the streets chanting, kill all Jews. In Germany, think about this for a second. Germany has lost control of their country. They have banned these types of protests, but the fake refugees are ignoring the government and doing whatever they want. They're not following the rule of law. And the flags in these protests, they're not just all Palestinian flags. They're coming from Taliban and many other extremist groups. So look what's happening here. You can see the infiltration. You're starting to understand what they've done here. Trump and the Patriots and the other individuals around the world, they needed the people to finally see this. And the only way you can show the people how dangerous this is to actually show them. Actually, we almost had an incident here in the United States. Now, CNN, they put out a headline saying, Jordanian arrested in Houston, made statements supporting killing individuals of particular faith, judge order says. So they were talking about killing Jewish people. That's pretty much what they were saying. Bill Malugin also put this out on X, but it wasn't a Jordanian man. It was a Palestinian man. This is what Bill Malugin says. A 20-year-old Palestinian man in the U.S. illegally has been arrested and charged with possession of a firearm by a prohibited person after he was in direct contact with others who share a radical mindset and was training with weapons to possibly commit an attack. Think about that. This individual arrived to the United States on June 2, 2016 from Jordan on a B2 tourism visa and left about 2 months later using a Palestine passport. He returned to the United States in June 2019. In January 2020, applied for an application for asylum and for withholding of removal, which is still pending. In August 2023, this man was approved for employment authorization in the United States, allowing him to work in the U.S. until August 1st, 2025. So once again, this individual is a Palestinian, and he's in this country illegally, and they caught him before he did anything, which means there's many more people in this country that came here illegally that are planning a terrorist attack. Actually, Trump, he's already let us know that this was going to happen. And everyone's going to be looking at the Biden administration when it does occur. And the people are going to watch what the government does, what those people in D.C. actually do, and all those individuals around the country. Because remember, most of these individuals were brought in by Obama. Their faith is not to the United States. Their faith lies elsewhere. And this is going to expose them like we've never seen before. And you're already seeing the infiltration in this country. You saw it out in the UK. You see it out in Germany. And now in D.C., you see a pro-Palestinian march which stretches as far as the eye can see. Julie Kelly put this out and said, "I'm truly sickened by the scenes in D.C. yesterday. I wonder how many federal prosecutors were in the crowd, or FBI employees, or DOJ, D.C., U.S. attorney staffers, or children of federal judges. You know the same people imprisoning Americans who walked into the Capitol on January 6th. They are the same people." And you can see that this is what they've been talking about, the diversity, the richness, and bring everyone in. Well, now it's at Biden's doorstep. And now we're going to see something completely different because they're all out there. And the pro-Palestinian protesters, they're chanting F Joe Biden outside the White House. Omri Saran put this out and said, "Palestinian terrorists murdered dozens of Americans less than a month ago and are holding several hostages. The Palestinian flag is being waved in front of the White House tonight. That's an odd juxtaposition." It is very odd, don't you think? And they're out there, these pro-Palestinians, and they're destroying statues. Ben Franklin was one of the founding fathers of the U.S. Today, anti-Israel protesters desecrated his statue. So all these individuals that the Biden administration let in, they are not for the United States. They're against the United States. BLM was against the United States. Antifa was against the United States. They're destroying the statues of our founding fathers. Where's the National Guard? Where's the police to round these people up? What's going on? Are we seeing the same thing that we saw back in 2020, but a lot worse? Yes, we are. Ed Wokeness put this out and said, "Free Palestine is BLM repackaged." Yes, it's the same exact people again. But this time, it's a lot worse. Actually, this time, it's people that don't even live in this country. They're from other places. They're here illegally. And now they're out there flying their flag, destroying our statues, storming the White House. And now those who are supposed to be upholding the Constitution, those people that are supposed to be defending this land from foreign and domestic enemies, they need to do something. Are they going to do it? Or is this going to expose them? I do believe this is going to expose them, and I do believe this is Trump and the Patriots' plan to show them the truth. Remember, everything that happened to Trump is now happening to them. Didn't they try to storm, I'm talking about BLM, Antifa, didn't they try to storm the White House? Yes, they did. Didn't they protest in D.C. and destroy things? Yes, they did. What did Trump do? He offered the National Guard. He offered to bring the National Guard in to protect these areas. What did the mayors do of these towns, these cities? What did the governors do in these states? They rejected it. But Trump, he said, here you go. So what are we seeing right now? We're seeing the same exact thing that we saw happen to Trump, but it's going to be 100 times worse. And is Biden going to do anything? Is he going to call the National Guard? Is he going to call in the Marines? Is he going to round these people up as this insurgency happens? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But Julie Kelly, she put this out and said, "No one shot and killed like on January 6th. No one assaulted with flashbangs, rubber bullets, tear gas, or beaten with batons. No one will be charged with federal crime of terrorism for shaking a government fence, per Judge Tim Kelly. FBI won't conduct pre-dawn arm raids to arrest them. U.S. Attorney Matthew Graves won't charge them with seditious conspiracy. Joe Biden won't call them terrorists. Democrats won't denounce them for attempting to take over a government building and threaten democracy. None of the officers will give tearful interviews in the Washington Post to claim they almost died. The White House will not give them special medals. Sedition hunters won't look for them. Double standards just keep piling up, and this is exactly what people are seeing right now." And Dan Scavino He responded to raw alerts showing the pro-Palestinian protesters climbing the fence, spray-painting the fence, destroying statues. Dan Scavino said the following: the Secret Service agents protecting the White House are the best in the world. They will protect that house at all costs. Not very smart. Well, are they going to protect it, or are they going to be told to stand down? This is going to be very interesting as we go throughout this entire year, because Trump, out in Kissimmee, he said something very interesting about Joe Biden, that Joe Biden always takes the side that helps America's enemies. Think about that for a second. Always takes the side of the enemy. So that means Joe Biden is not going to do anything. He's going to take the side of the enemy, isn't he? Take a listen to what Trump said here.
Policy from the border to energy, from immigration to education. Crooked Joe Biden always takes the side that helps America's enemies every time. The guy doesn't have a clue. He helps the enemies, and now we know why. Because Joe Biden is corrupt, and he's incompetent, and he's totally compromised.
So that reminds me of post 4749, what Trump said, that Biden takes the side. And actually think about all the other people that infiltrated our government, because Obama brought them in. These individuals, they're going to have to make a choice. And in this post, September 23rd, 2020, it says, everyone has a choice to make against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So is this going to expose the people where they're not protecting this country from foreign and domestic enemies? If they're siding with the enemy, well, they're part then of the enemy. They're part of the problem. And they should not be in government then, right? Just like Rashida Tlaib. Her first order of business is to the United States. It's not to the Palestinians. It's not to Hamas. It's to the United States. Everyone else that is in D.C. or any other government office around the country, their duty is to the United States of America, period, the end. And I do believe this is going to flush them all out, and the people of this country are going to see it. Just like they saw during the 2020 riots, which governors, which mayors, also with COVID. Well, now you're going to see something else, and it's happening right now. And Trump, he let everyone know that we needed to have this pause. People needed to see this. The majority had to wake up. The majority had to fight back. The majority had to walk through it. And actually, post 4641, September 9, 2020, pretty much sums it all up. The swamp runs deep. Sometimes you can't tell the people the truth. You must show them. Only then, at the precipice, will people find the will to change to participate. We, the people, have been betrayed for a very long time. Will you stand for God and country, for freedom, for humanity? Where we go one, we go all. And yes, it is working. The people are completely against Biden right now. They're saying that he's not good for this country. And Disclosed TV put this out, and this is a CBS News poll. And it says, percent who say things are going badly in America. 73% of Americans say things are going badly in the United States. And this is coming from a YouGov poll that was put out on CBS. 73% of the people of this country, they're saying that things are going badly. What do you think this percentage number is going to go up to when we have a terrorist act, when these people destroy statues, storm the White House, and continue to do this? This percentage is going to go way, way up. Now, what's very interesting is Trump, he said this before, and he's saying it over and over and over, letting everyone know that the 2024 election is the most important election. And he said, we've been fighting for 7 years now to rescue the nation. And this is all part of the plan. Now is the critical battle of our lives. 1 year from now will be the most important election. He said we're going to finish the job. Take a listen to what he says here.
For 7 years, you and I have been fighting side by side to rescue our nation from the evil and sinister forces who hate it and want to destroy it. Now we're approaching the most critical battle of our lives. Exactly 1 year from tomorrow, 1 year, we're getting there. But 1 year is a long time with the kind of destruction these people can do. They're grossly incompetent. You'll vote in the most important election in the history of our country. I believe that. You know, I used to say 2016 was the most, and I meant it at the time, but this is maybe far more important because our country is failing. We're a nation that's failing. But we're going to finish the job we started. We did some job, and we're going to finish that job.
And yes, 1 year is a very long time, and a lot is going to happen, and it's going to wake up a lot of people. But Trump, he already has plans to clean all of this up, because he let everyone know his first act as president in 2024, mass deportation of all of these people. He's going to go after everyone. He's going to have peace. He's going to basically reverse all infiltration. He's going to reverse everything that was done. And I do believe this is going to happen very, very quickly. And what's very interesting, I want to go back to two posts here. Post 24, 26, November 5th, 2018. The left has no chance. They are doomed. Soon they will cease to exist. Once this is all over and the economy crashes, we have chaos in the streets. They're storming the White House and other federal buildings, destroying our history. What do you think the people of this country are going to do as we approach war, as the economy is breaking down? You think they're going to be with all these people? No, they're going to be completely against them. Let's go to post 2437, November 6, 2018. Down below it says the following. They want one thing and only one thing, power. They will lie, cheat, and promise you the world to obtain it. They do not love our country. They despise it. They want to destroy it. Show your love for our country by voting. Return power to the people. Return all glory to our former state. We honor those who fought and continue to fight to save and defend this great country. We will do our part. Will you do yours? Vote, vote, vote. Justice is coming. And yes, these people don't love our country. They despise it. And that's what you're going to see right now. It has already begun. You're going to see it. And as we go throughout this year, yes, you're going to see chaos. Yes, you're going to see the economy crash. Yes, you're going to see war. And the people are going to see the truth of who caused all of this. And this is going to bring the people to Trump's side. And yes, when Trump has the people and the people vote for Trump, that is going to be the shot heard around the world, and it's going to signal to Trump, you have our permission to get these people. The people are saying it's time to take back this country, and that's exactly what he's going to do. But the people needed to see this. The people needed to make up their own mind. The people needed to make this decision on their own in the end, but they needed to see it so they could make a logical decision. You needed to see how these people hate the country. You needed to see how they'll side with the enemy. You needed to see how they'll crash the economy. You needed to see how they'll bring us to war to protect their entire criminal syndicate. You needed to see all of it. Without seeing it, you wouldn't be able to take the country back. Without seeing it, you wouldn't be able to fight for your freedom. Without seeing it, you would not be able to keep this country. This is the second revolution, and the people are fighting back now, and the people are going to take back this country, and it's going to get worse before it gets better. But in the end, I do believe the Patriots are going to win, and they're going to take back the country. Why? Because the Patriots are in control. Listen, everyone, thanks a lot for listening. Be well, be safe, and especially be prepared. Thanks a lot.
Okay, by the way, the queue is open. Anybody wants to get into the queue? It's a star 6 and 1 if you on a phone. If you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button to get into the queue. Okay, we got another video here. It's 5 minutes long. Let's see if we can get it going.
With you. I don't want anybody to be in fear, but I do want people to be aware. I think that it is our responsibility to know what's going on, to share it out, and to make sure that everyone is aware of what's taking place, especially if your city is on this list. And I'll go through it once again for you guys. This is the list that has been released where they're saying they believe they have eyes on groups, and this is only the ones that they know of. Eyes on groups in cities where they are trying to play out potential attacks on U.S. soil. And again, we actually had them stop a potential attack that just took place here in Houston, Texas last week from a Jordanian nationalist that said that he was that they were watching him and that he was potentially planning an attack. So again, here is the list. And again, do me a favor. If I name your city, put a 5. I'd like for all of us to see all the people that are in these cities. It's absolutely incredible. And I was shocked at the length of this list. So one more time for you guys. And this is only the ones that they know of. This does not mean that there is not potential groups in your city. It just means this is the ones that they have eyes on that they've released at this time. Washington, D.C., all throughout the state of New York, San Francisco, California, Santa Clara, California, Los Angeles, California, San Diego, California, Houston, Texas, Arlington, Texas, Dallas, Texas, Boca Raton, Florida, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, Orlando, Florida, Tampa, Florida, Boston, Massachusetts, Playfield, Illinois, Chicago, Illinois, Cleveland, Ohio, Laurel, Maryland, Potomac, Maryland, Herton, Virginia, Springfield, Virginia, Raleigh, North Carolina, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Charlotte, North Carolina, Detroit, Michigan, Columbia, Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri, Denver, Colorado, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, Tucson, Arizona, and Seattle, Washington. That is the current list that we have right now, you guys, and I can see the fives pouring in. And yes, Dallas, Texas is on the list. New York is on the list. Dallas, yes, I see people saying all of these things coming in. Is my city on the list? This is the list that we have so far. Now, again, as more information rolls out on this, I'll let you guys know, because this was just released. We're hearing about Florida, a lot in Florida, a lot in Texas, and a lot in California. And in New York, they didn't even put the cities. They just said all throughout New York. Just New York is, it's everywhere. And I think that this is fairly evident because also, too, as you guys will recall, the protests and the attacks in the streets that have already been going on, where have they been? Los Angeles, California, New Orleans. We saw this in Chicago. We saw this in, there was another city, I can't remember. It was New York, LA, Chicago, New Orleans, and we saw the bombers stopped in Houston. And now this list was released, and we see city after city in California, city after city in Florida, in Texas, and in New York, they didn't even bother with the list. They just simply said all throughout the state. So I think it's very important for us to know that this is going on. Let's see here. Ryan says that they planned the attack on Israel for 1 year. What if there is more to the plan? Ryan, I don't doubt it. I think that there are strategies underway, and I think that the FBI, and I'll put a one if you believe they know a whole lot more that's going on than they're releasing. The fact that they're releasing this and the fact that the FBI and Congress came out on the same day with this information, that makes me feel like they know that it's almost like they've been – let me know if you think this. If put a one if you agree. They've had things under wraps. They know a whole lot more than they're letting out, and now they're releasing this because they know it's probably to the point of no return. Why would Congress and the FBI on the exact same day come out and warn about attacks on U.S. soil and then give the specifics? It's not just like we think people are here. It's we think people are here. We think they're in these cities, and we think that they're going to attack our infrastructure systems, our water, our electrical. It's because they already know that things are taking place right now, and I think that they just like to keep us in the dark because they don't want to cause chaos and cause people to worry. They don't want to spread mass fear. But when it gets to the point where it's like, all right, this is going to happen, then they start releasing some information to warn people and prepare them. So that's why as I'm seeing this come out, I'm trying to use this platform to share it with people, to let people know. And again, if you appreciate that, do.
Okay, we have one more video here. It's 5 minutes long, and this gives us the perspective of what I guess the media has to say about statesmen. If we choose a good statesman and put him in power, well, this is the assault that we're going to find out. You know, Christianity is under assault and targeted, of course, the Jews everywhere, but Christianity is also a target. All right, anyway, let's take a look at this video. Like I said, we'll listen to 5 minutes of it.
Talking about right there. Let these haters hate. Let Speaker.
I am a Bible-believing Christian. Someone asked me today in the media, they said, it's curious. People are curious. What does Mike Johnson think about any issue under the sun? I said, well, go pick up a Bible off your shelf and read it. That's my worldview.
You heard that right. The Bible doesn't just inform his worldview. It is his worldview.
Republicans unanimously voted in Mike Johnson.
an extreme far-right religious ideologue from Louisiana.
This guy's a Christian nationalist.
He is a Christian nationalist.
Near this bunch of religious fanatics, there is no room for real democracy.
He is a very loyal soldier to the far-right movement.
A low-ranking far-right Republican.
Johnson, a hard-right conservative.
A hard-right conservative.
A hard-line conservative far-right. Far Christian right.
Far right. Extreme.
Extreme.
Far right.
Far right.
Far right.
Much further to the right.
And the reason this guy is speaker is none of us had the time to read his resume and realize he's David Duke Light.
MAGA Mike Johnson, there's a reason why they call him that.
The MAGA faction, the anti-democracy faction, the far right, won.
Does this signal that he and his extreme views represent the Republican Party?
Mike Johnson has an affable personality. Okay? These are the most dangerous types.
Hardline conservative, but palatable.
He will say the craziest things with just the most mild-mannered, milquetoast tone.
He had, you know, this Ned Flanders vibe.
Jim Jordan with a jacket and a smile.
Jim Jordan with a jacket and a smile.
It was very clear that he was, despite that Ned Flanders vibe, a fire-breathing conservative.
Johnson is more dangerous than Donald Trump because Johnson actually wants to make America into a Christian theocracy.
Didn't take him long. The liberal media now launching their first jabs at the newly minted House Speaker, Mike Johnson. But many of those attacks appear to center on his Christian faith. They are particularly perturbed by that.
If you truly believe in the Bible's commands and you seek to follow those, it is impossible to be a hateful person, because the greatest command in the Bible is that you love God with everything you have and you love your neighbor as yourself. I'm okay. I'll take the arrows. I understand it comes with leadership, and when you step into the fray, that's what you take. But what really hurts me is that it really is a statement about everyone who believes in this, that the country was built upon. Our Judeo-Christian foundation is the heritage of our country. I'll show you the chapel in here. Not a lot of people have seen this.
Yeah.
But it's one of my favorite parts of the building.
Wow.
And it's got this ornate stained glass that they added in 1955. The chapel was erected in 1954. And it's right around the corner from the speaker's suite. We've already used it quite a bit, and we'll be using it every morning.
So every morning?
Yes.
Okay, so, you know, my team back in the White House, the last thing we did before we went to the podium was have a prayer.
Yeah.
So literally end in prayer and then go speak to the press. So each morning, will you have a ritual?
This will be my discipline to come in here and seek the Lord's guidance for what we do each day.
How does it feel when you see the media malign your husband, you, your family?
Well, I know it goes along with the territory here, but I will say it makes me very sad. It breaks my heart because I just wish that they knew this guy that I know. He is one of the most loving, kind, genuine people I've ever known. And he loves all people and would give you the shirt off of his back.
But Kelly, they've also come after you personally, attacked you, your Christian counselor, a woman of God, attacked your profession. What's your response to that?
Well, you know, I used to be a school teacher and I loved that, but I just felt burdened for so many people, and I felt the calling to go back to school to become a Christian counselor. And it's because I love people and I want to be able to help them through their times of struggle and suffering, and I love what I do. Absolutely love it.
As a husband, you know, I'll take any arrows, that's fine, but don't talk about my wife, for goodness sake. She's the kindest, sweetest person in the world, and anybody they interview anywhere at any stage of her life will tell you about this lady right here.
Oh, I love that. And how are your kids dealing with it all?
They're doing pretty well. I think they're also still in shock because it's still so new, but they're proud of their dad, and they're excited. They're excited for what's ahead.
Do you believe your husband is here in this role for such a time as this, at this particular moment, for a reason?
I do. I believe that God has placed him here. That's biblical. The Bible says he raises up leaders and he brings them down, right? So I believe that God has him here for just this time.
That's what I'm talking about right there. Let these haters hate. Let them find a way to always...
Okay, we're going to open up in a couple of minutes to an open forum. If anybody has a question or a comment, you can get into the queue. If you're on a phone, *6 and 1. And if you're on an app or a browser, there should be a button there to push to get into the queue. But before we move on, I do want to share something which we're going to get into more detail next week. I don't want to wait the entire month to come back and talk about this. And everybody should be participating. You know, for those who have not stood up yet, for those who are not involved and not doing something, it's time to move. You know, we've got quite a bit of membership, over, I think about 11,000 members in our membership right now, but nowhere near anything that we really need as far as being active. A lot of people are just silent, sitting in the background. Some even forgotten, I guess, that they even joined up with us. But everybody's, a lot of people, most people are just idle. They're not really doing anything. It's time to save America. They're coming for you now. It's on American soil. We're in trouble. Now, you know, things are going to be better as time goes on. I do believe that the military has everything under control. I do believe that, that this is well planned out. But there's going to be casualties and a lot of terrible things that are going to take place on American soil. And it's already starting. It's moving through. What we need to do is become educated. We need to organize. We need to communicate. We need to build our committees of safety. We need to prepare to take our country back. Because as President Trump has said, you know, he was elected not to take power, but to give the power back to the people. That was in his inauguration speech. And that's what he intends on doing. I truly believe that. But the people are not educated in order to do that. They don't know what to do. They don't understand what they need to do. And even a lot of the committees of safety that have already started to be in play already, some of them are kind of going astray on different things and doing things outside of the plan. Look, we have to act together. We got to work together. We got to focus in on certain problems together. We may find different ways to deal with that solution, but each one of us, you know, we're all free and independent on our county's levels, and we, you know, NLA respects that, and we'll continue to build that kind of a knowledge and thinking throughout our entire membership. We won't interfere with anyone, but we will give you all the information that we can get. We'll encourage conversation. We'll encourage ideas, people coming up with different ideas. You know, we come to three or four different solutions. Pick one, get involved, and do it. But we need to do certain things first. We need to organize first. We need to educate ourselves. We need to build first and foremost that committee for education, because we need to save our children. Our children are being destroyed. We've already lost numerous generations. They're gone. Now, I don't know how difficult it's going to be to save them. The children in school, they're suffering. They're sexualized. They're demoralized. They got all this wokeism going on. They're not learning anything about America. They're learning how to be being good comrades. We got a problem. It's our job to fix it. And we all need to step up, and we need to step up now. So anybody not active, you got to get involved some way. Whatever it is, even if it's not with NLA, it doesn't matter. You got to do something. But NLA has the solution. NLA has the plan to save America and to return this nation back to the republic it was meant to be. But it's up to the people. Only the people can save America. Now, before we go on, I just want to cover a couple of minutes with this. We're going to spend time with this next week. There is a Colonel Douglas McGregor, and I don't know if everybody has found him yet, but he's been pretty popular, running through all through the internet. And he's been around for about 2 weeks now. He's taken a certain position. He puts out a report every day. You can go to YouTube and look up Douglas McGregor, and you can put him on your subscription, and you'll get his weekly report. And he's also got an organization going. NLA has gone out and joined that organization just today. We signed up as an organization, and we're offering our expertise. They're looking for organization. They're looking for people to get involved, communicate. They even talked about potential funding to organizations that are doing things. So we put our name in there in order to educate the people. Because if people expect to be ignorant and free, they expect what never was and never will be. That's what Thomas Jefferson said, and that's the facts. Liberty is in the law. The knowledge of the law is a necessity. And we're not talking about law that puts you to sleep. We're talking about exciting law. We're talking about the common law. Common law is literally common sense. That's what common law is. Common law maxims, which are common sense, can't be denied. But America has lost its common sense. The world has lost its common sense. It's time to wake up and do something. I want to play this very short video. I think it's 2 minutes long. Let me make sure it's the right video. If it's longer than 2 minutes, I'm not going to play it. Let's see. Okay, this is a 2-minute video, and this is the last video I'm playing. We're going to go right into the open forum. But this particular video here, it comes off of, Colonel Douglas McGregor's site or organization. And it's the first video message, I believe, that was emailed out to me after I signed up. But here it is.
Thank you for taking the time to review our message. I'm Douglas McGregor, the Chief Executive Officer of Our Country, Our Choice, a nonpartisan organization that promotes traditional conservative values in American government, as well as prosperity at home and peace abroad. I'm speaking to you today because America confronts its biggest crisis since World War II. However, this time, the existential threats to the American people are not thousands of miles away on some foreign battlefield. The threats are here at home. Some call the threat the deep state. Others point to the swamp. Regardless of what we call them, the threats from political corruption, deceit, and the collapse of integrity in American government are real. Our country, our choice, consists of Americans like you, people who know the swamp in Washington, D.C. is too deep and too wide for any one man or woman to drain. Our country, our choice, is building the platform and the tools Americans need to drain the swamp. We are launching our service in the fall, and our service is free. Our country is in free fall. It's time to fight back. Americans' traditional values of God, country, and family are under attack. If you love our country, please join us. Our country needs you. Together, we can change the destiny of our nation. Let us show you how. Email us at ourcountryourchoice.com. Thank you, and God bless you.
Okay, that kind of brings us to the end of those videos. We do support Our Country, Our Choice. I think it's a .com, if that's what it was. Let me take a quick look. Our Country, Your Choice, .com. No, I'm sorry, Our Country, Our Choice, .com. All right, anyway, people should visit that and maybe get involved with that, too. We definitely are going to put some information up on our website concerning this website. And again, like I said, NLA is going to be connected with them. We are connected with some other organizations. You know, we have the Republic Review. We also have We the People. And there's a few others that we're looking into and that we do support. But again, united we stand, divided we fall. And the purpose of National Liberty Alliance is to unite the people, but also to bring together any organization that is compatible with us. There have been some organizations that wanted to connect with us, but we declined because they're not compatible with us. But we will connect with anybody that is compatible. And this website, I believe, is compatible. Okay, with that, we're going to go to our questions. Again, if anybody wants to get into the queue, we have a couple of people in the queue, *6 and 1. If you're on a phone, and click the queue button to get into the queue if you're on a app or a browser. So we'll take the first person. And again, we'll also, I know we have some questions coming up, Jan, on, is there any questions there that's that is appropriate for tonight's meeting to respond to? Maybe I can take them first.
Well, John, we have a question that would be an excellent lead-in for anyone that wants to get a COS going in any part of the country, really.
Do it. Go ahead.
It says 18 U.S.C. Code SS-1470 prohibits the distribution of obscene material to children under age 16. I'm speaking out at school boards opposing the obscenity the school boards are distributing to children. Will you help me develop lawsuits against these schools, or they will continue to distribute this obscene material? Suing the schools may be the only way to stop this wicked indoctrination. Now, I guess the other question you need to ask is, why are they allowed to distribute obscene material to anyone in the school? But I think you could certainly get a lot of local support if you took that topic and started talking to people who have kids in school particularly, or that have an interest in the education system.
Right. Well, I was, you know, next week, my intention is to talk about the school problem. Not next week, but next month. But maybe we should just do it next week. I mean, we're in a state of emergency, and maybe we should try to focus more each week towards these kind of problems and situations that people need to discuss and think about and try to find certain solutions and act together. The problem in going into the courts is that the courts are corrupt, totally corrupt. I mean, they do not accept the Constitution anymore. The Constitution has been ripped up and thrown out the window. That's a fact. I know that for a fact. We have hundreds of cases through the federal court particularly, but we're in other courts too. I'm in a state court, and we've been in many town courts and various courts throughout the nation. And believe me, it's the problem everywhere. They've given up on the Constitution. We have been totally infiltrated. The judicial system is totally destroyed. It needs to be reconstructed. We need to get rid of the Bar Association. The Bar Association is an anti-constitutional organization. Their sole purpose, their creation, was to destroy our judicial system. They originated back in 1750 while we weren't even a state yet. You know, we were the colonies. And the king sent over the bar to establish, you know, bar attorneys to establish a bar here in the United States. And of course, as we became a nation, their destructive powers and focus grew to more than just our courts and also our political and our way of life. And they've been bombarding us and destroying us from day one. And they've totally destroyed our courts. We've lost our Constitution in the 1934 Enabling Act, which took power and authority and actually brought forth the rules of the court on the federal level in 1938. And that has worked its way all the way down to every court system in America. And we are now under Babylonian law. They call it civil law. Now that's where we're at right now. And so it's an uphill battle everywhere. And we are in the courts. We're still busy. We do plan on bringing a case against the federal judiciary and also against the Bar Association collectively together. The case is pretty much written. I'm in the process of going through reviewing it and cleaning it up. We did try to bring something before the United States Supreme Court, but we were blocked by a clerk in that three times. So we're going to wait, I think, until after devolution is well in play and maybe towards the end of it, because only then we're going to be able to get any justice in the courts. And that's when they're going to be forced to be obedient to the Constitution. Now, with that said, and the main reason I brought all that up, it's going to be very difficult to bring a case into the courts to go up against the school districts. The way you're going to defeat that and beat that quickly, okay, is to form the committees of safety and come to the plan next Monday, the first Monday of the month. That I think will be the issue we're going to look in. We're going to go and look very carefully into how you can go and take control of the school districts as far as the boards are concerned, and to remove these people from the board and seize their seats. How to do that? That's what we're going to talk about on next meeting, first Monday of the month. But next week, we're going to talk more about this. And I'm going to think a little bit. I mean, maybe we can do a case. I don't think it's going to go anywhere, but we can do something maybe. I'll see if we can get in touch with that individual, get more information, see how much information they can bring to us so that we can write a case, and then file it in the courts and see where it goes. But I don't really have a lot of faith that it's going to go very far because the courts have been totally destroyed. And by the way, if we got to go over tonight, we're going to go over tonight. You know, we usually close down at 11 o'clock. We go 2 hours. We used to go 3 hours, but we go 2 hours now. But on the first Monday of the month, if we have to, we'll do that third hour. Or as much time as we have to answer any questions of anybody that comes into the queue. We want to make sure we respond to anybody who has anything. Jan, is there any more before we go into the queue?
That might be appropriate
for talking. No?
Not any more that are really pertinent.
Okay. There are no announcements that's necessary, is there?
Just the same one from last week. You can still watch that video.
Yeah, I heard that's going to... Which one are you talking about? Which video?
The police state video by Dinesh D'Souza.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You can download it and watch it free, the live stream, or you can buy the DVD. DVD is, I think, $25 plus $5 shipping, or $24 plus $5.
Did you put that into the letter that you send out once a week?
Yeah, it's in the newsletter.
Okay.
Under the announcement section, yeah.
Okay.
It has the links for all three ways you can watch it right now.
All right. One other thing, you know, we are in a threat of an EMP attack. That's a potential. And if they blast an EMP attack in the air, you know, a nuclear in the air, I think it's thought out that 3 nuclear bombs with the appropriate power can take down the entire United States, all of our electronics, everything gone. We are running into a problem with the sun coming, I think, in 2025 or 2024. I don't remember which year. It's going to be a really tough. Every 11 years, the sun goes into a fit, and we get a lot of sun flares. And we've been hit recently last year, within this past year, a couple of times, but it's very mild. And a big one really just missed us by, I think, it was 8 days. So we are in a position where we could lose our electronics. I do know that Trump has prepared. One of the first things he did in 2017 was to put forth a study to try to figure out how we can protect our electrical grid. Because if we get hit with an EMP, whether it's a nuclear blast or if it is from the sun, then at that point, we're going to lose a lot of electronics. But in any event, in 2019. They did come with a solution. It got executed, and in 2019, they started putting a system throughout our infrastructure, our electrical grid. And so our electrical grid is protected. The problem is that the government informed the electrical companies that they were to notify the people of the problem and offer them a solution because even though the grid is protected, your house is not protected. And if you get hit with a bad EMP, everything in your house is going to fry, including your car. If you have a generator, it's all going to fry. You're not going to save it unless you have protection on it. So anyway, they never contacted anyone to give them the solution to the problem. But NLA did find a solution to the problem. We've looked into this, and if you want to get some information on it, on the right-hand side of the website, you can see solar flare EMP protection. Okay, you can click on that. And you'll be taken to a page and watch a lot of videos, and then you can make a decision on what you want to do. I started researching this out because I was looking to make some Faraday cages, and I wanted to protect my generator. I wanted to protect all of my electronics as much as I could. We'll get some, if we're hit with a sun flare heading for the Earth, usually we got almost or up to 24 hours to notification that it's happening. And if you put all of your electronics into some kind of a Faraday cage or a bag, you can buy bags online. You can put your laptops in it and various different things. But anyway, that's what I was looking for, and that's what I was going to do, is start constructing Faraday cages in various places in my house to protect the home. But then I found out what Trump had done, and, you know, through my research, and then I found out how a solution. And I've got one of these things on my house that protects my house from being destroyed from an EMP. I've got one in my car, so my car will be able to survive an EMP. All these newfangled cars, they won't. The older cars you might be able to get away with. It'll do some damage to the points, but you can replace that. But as far as the electronics in a car, with today's cars, you're going to lose everything. It's going to be fried. You won't be able to drive it. The other thing, of course, I put one on my generator. So I got one on a generator, one on my house, and one on my car. So anyway, you can get some information. They got a reasonable price on it. NLA is also selling it, so they're partners with us. And we get $50 for everyone that's sold, so that goes in to support NLA, of course. So you can click on order one and get $50 off, okay, when you go through us. Okay, anyway, people should check on that page, listen to the videos on here, read the information we put together, and make a decision on what you want to do. But it is important, I think, that we notify the people of this problem, and people need to do something about it. It's up to you. Okay, with that, we're going to take our first question. We only got a couple people in the queue, so again, if anybody wants to get in there, star 6 and a 1 if you're on a phone, and hit that button if you're on a browser or a app. First person we got, looks like Usula, how you doing? You should have the mic. Let me see if I clicked the button. Maybe I didn't. Let me try it. Okay, you've been unmuted. Usula, you got the mic.
Good evening.
And you're from Missouri. Usula from Missouri. Go ahead. Usula from Missouri.
Hello.
Go right ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry, John. You know, when I asked you last week about the common law trust, I went in there and I did not find it. Can you please elaborate on that again, so I, you know, where I need to go to get to find that? Hello.
I lost you, John. If you're talking.
Okay.
Okay. I'm sorry. Yeah, I had muted myself. Okay. Yeah. You'll find this under Education Starts Here. So you highlight that, and you come down to Law. Okay. Law is highlighted. Then you go to the right and you click on Court Forms and Process. Now, in order to get to this page, we only have one or two pages that we require people to be, supporting members. And a supporting member is a person who's given $5 a month or more. But if you can't afford that, you need to get access to that, just notify Jan and we'll let you in for free, because we're all about education. We need to be supported.
Yeah, I do. I donate. You know, $20 a month. So, yes,
yeah. You should be in here. Do you do that by mail or you do it by order?
No, it's an electronic automatic.
Yeah. When you do it electronically, it automatically kicks in. If you do it by mail, when I get something, I let Jan know, and he clicks the buttons to get you access. But anyway, under Law, you know, highlight Law, and you'll come over and you'll see Court Forms and Process. And if you click on that, it's just a little bit way down, if I believe, demand for oaths, common law trust. Everything you need to know about creating a irrevocable trust or a revocable trust.
Oh, great. Do you know right by, you know, by any chance that, you know, how do I bring my business under the trust? If, you know, I just want to read up on the what is the
deal. What I would say is read all of this information, take some notes. Okay. There's a form that lays out exactly how to do it, you know, so you can just kind of open the form up, put all your information into it. But after you read through it and you evaluate everything, then you can come and ask some more questions. We can discuss some strategies. If you have a company that you're trying to do this, you usually you know, you want to do certain things in a different way. You know, you want to have a trust that owns all of your equipment and things of that nature. I know I was involved with setting this up with a company some years back, working with a lawyer, where they moved all of the, you know, equipment. He had millions of dollars worth of equipment, and he moved it into a trust, and then he would rent from one corporation that he was operating under to the trust. So he's at risk out there doing business. So if they sued him, they couldn't take his machines away. And he's an excavator. So, I mean, you know, there's ways to plan around that. NLA is a trust, and trusts are pretty powerful, and they don't like to allow trust to be broken because, I'm talking about the enemy now, because they live by the trust, and they hide a lot of stuff in their trusts.
Okay, so can I ask you one more question then? I heard that we cannot file this trust, common law trust, in the public.
A trust is private, and the only people that know who the trustee who the beneficiary is the trustees. Usually there are two trustees to a trust. And, and then, of course, there's the beneficiaries. And they cannot be revealed. I know I went to a bank to open up an account, and they wanted a copy of the detail. It's a trust. You can't get I can't tell you who those people are or who would be the beneficiaries. I can't expound on that. And they wouldn't open up an account. But I did get a place, and I think they misunderstood me. I think all banks are problematic with this thing. But anyway, I opened it up, and they kind of opened me up like a corporation. I found that's fine. I still signed it up as a trust. I filed my papers as a trust as far as the details that I was willing to give with the VIN number and the FIN number and whatever else they needed in order to open up an account. You don't reveal it to anyone. Once that account is identified as a trust, it can't be the details can't be revealed to people, and all the information that the trustees have, it's against the law for them to reveal.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Matter of fact, I'm in a lawsuit. I'm filing a lawsuit for somebody, has a problem with a trustee that violated the trust, and a matter of fact. You know, we gave a law course for anybody interested. We've got a lot of education. I'm sure most people know about this, but those who are maybe new to us, we've got lots of courses, a lot of free courses, and some courses that you have to be, a supporting member. But we do have a court access in the common law course. So anybody wants a course, it's a powerful course. Okay. It teaches you about the law, and everybody should know the law, okay? So that's for anybody that wants it. All right, anything else? Move on to someone else.
Thank you. That's it. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to, it looks like, Anthony from West Virginia. You got the mic.
Hey, John, I'm so excited about what you just did with that signing up with someone else that we could work with. That's great.
Absolutely. They look like they got a powerful program and will be able to help each other quite a bit.
I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm.
I've just been talking to a few people here, not making the headway that I want to make. And, you know, life just tends to get in the way sometimes. But we're still moving forward. And things are looking up, actually. Some of the programs you played today, they actually give me a better outlook.
Mm-hmm.
So not much more to say. That's my comment, and thought I'd just check in and say hi and let you know how we were doing here.
Okay, appreciate that. You know, for your knowledge and everybody else's knowledge, these special meetings that we have are, you know, they're video recorded, so it'll be a video recording. You know, all of our meetings are put under the Monday Night Call. You can click here, for instance, on our Monday Night Call. And underneath our Monday Night Call, we have all of the audios since our inception, literally. We've been on every Monday since we began. And so you can go back and listen to a lot of old stuff, but of course the newest stuff is what you want to, the most recent stuff is the most important stuff. So you can listen to that. But these special meetings that we're having on the first Monday of the month, you can find them under Starter Committee of Safety and click on National Monthly Meeting. And for anybody that missed last week's video, you know, last week's last month's meeting, we have that right here. It's the first one. We have it in audio and we have it in video. Okay, and we'll be posting the latest one above this, so we'll be posting that too. We'll also be posting them down at the bottom in audio also. So if people want to listen to it, maybe when they're driving their car or go through an MP3 player or whatever the case may be. So, okay, thanks, Anthony. We'll move to our next caller.
Okay, you're welcome, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye. Brett, you got the mic. What state are you in, Brett? Brett, you got the mic.
Hello?
Go right ahead. What state you in? Yeah. What's his state? I forget.
Wisconsin.
Wisconsin. Yeah, I know we spoke before. Go ahead.
Yes. Yeah, my question is, you spoke earlier about the positions that were paid.
Right.
And I was wondering, how does that work if for those who may be on limited income or a fixed income?
Well, we're trying to move professional. I mean, we don't have anyone that's donating the amount of money we need to go professional. And I talk about National Liberty Alliance as a whole, and we need quite a bit. But laying that aside, if you're talking about the positions of being an administrator for the juries, they would be working right out of the courthouse. We'd be taking the jobs away from the Bar Association, all the lawyers and the judges, and the people, which is where it belongs. In history, it's the people who would orientate the juries. It's the people who controlled it, you know, and it's the people who make the decision. You know, we the people ordained and established this Constitution for the United States of America. We're the sovereigns. We're the kings. We made the decision. We empowered them. We gave them the authority through the Constitution, Article 1, 2, and 3 particularly, but of course the entire Constitution. We laid out the Bill of Rights, and of course the foundation of our law is the Declaration of Independence, which brings us under the law of God. And in return, we get the liberty of God, because our liberty is in the law. But anyway, the key thing here, though, is that you know, we take back the courts. And the only way we're going to take back the courts is for the people to step up and get involved and become an administrator. We got the paperwork written up for this. We've been building a case for quite some time, since I think it was 2015 when we started building the case. We've got hundreds of cases in the courts, and we're proving through these cases that there is a conspiracy by enemies, foreign and domestic, and it's in every single court in America. Particularly, we're going after the federal districts, because if we take back the federal districts, we can then immediately take back all of the state courts and bring them back under the Constitution again. So these administrators, we need four administrators and a paralegal. And a paralegal also would be administrator. We teach courses that all the administrators have to take. You can find that under Education Starts Here. And these are the courses. You know, anybody who wants to become a jury administrator must take every one of these courses, okay? And they also have to take the court access and the common law course, because they have to understand due process. So as they're going through that course, you know, it'll be on the job training, so to speak, but they need to be going through those courses. And then the final course that they need to take is called the Jury Administrators Accredited Course. And, you know, once they get through that, they can take on a job within their county. So we're going to take it away from the Bar Association and bring it back to the people. We'll do that through the courts. We'll start off in the federal courts to get that power and authority back. So this is not a thing that we're creating anything. It's the way it was. The people always controlled the courts. You know, before we had all these bar judges, and go back into history, usually even the sheriff could hold the court, the coroner could hold the court, and there's a few other individuals that could hold the court, but also a judge. But judges for equity, and again, remember, they're only traffic cops. They don't get to decide anything. It's the people that get to decide. It's the people through the jury that decides innocent or guilty. It's the people, they decide the law and the facts. They also decide the penalty. They also can give mercy and decide whatever it is they decide. They're the law. We are the lawmakers. We, the people, are the lawmakers. The law is the power of the law is within the sovereign. So, again, we need to take this all back. Now, it's a professional position. It pays well. It's got good benefits, so on and so forth. And we'll lay out all of the process on how that money income is going to come, because it really comes, the controller puts forth a budget. And that budget provides for the individuals who run, you know, take care of that business. So again, we would be taking that budget over, and we'd be doing that in every county, with every state, with every state court within every county. Here in New York, we call our courts the New York State Supreme Court, and each county has a New York State Supreme Court. You know, Dutchess County, New York State Supreme Court. We have. Of Dutchess County, we have New York State Supreme Court of Orange County, Ulster County, Greene County, and so on and so forth throughout New York. So there are 62 counties, and we have 62 state courts. But every state has the same thing. They may just call the court a little bit, you know, a different name. But anyway, here in New York.
So would that be an employer-employee relationship through the county?
Well, it would be funded to a budget, and we'd create... I'm not sure exactly what we create. I perceive we'd probably create a trust. Each county would create their own trust. I'd have to think about that structure. We could do it statewide and then divide it by the counties, but I think it's more proper for each county to have its own, and that's how they're budgeted anyway. So the county controller would probably fund out the money. They get the money funded out from the state controller. They work out all that. You have to give an accounting. We'd have to go into an account money for whatever that budget would be. For that process, and it would go into the bank, and then you'd have an accountant who would take care of all the process of the paychecks and the benefits and all the necessary things where money flows out. Probably we'd give the paralegal the power and the authority of the check writing ability. Maybe it'll be left over to the accountant. I haven't figured that part out yet. I have to figure out which might be the best way to go on that. But accountability would have to be, I think it's on a quarterly basis. You have to send an accountability on the budget and what monies you're spending, what came in, where it went. So you got to give an account of it. So the money is there in every county throughout the whole United States. We just need to take the process over away from the bar attorneys and the judges and give it back to the people and create that process in each county. We will be teaching that when we get to that point.
Okay. So how far do you think we are from this? Are we a long way from
until devolution. I'm sure you're familiar with devolution. If you're not, if anybody's here that's not familiar with devolution, you can get up to par on it by going into today's issues, coming down to devolution, and you'll get a good introduction to devolution and what's going on. Okay, you can also come down, I believe, let's see, Mandamus, New World Order. I know there's another one in here. I know we have another page in here. I just can't find it at the moment. I think it's under this tab. Let me see. Uptake. Hunson. Oh, right here. Q News Anon. Okay. This got a lot of information on what's going on. I believe this is the latest study. I know Terry's been keeping up on it, so I think this is the last study put up. I mean, last report put up, report number 64. So again, you know, a lot of people don't believe in the Q movement. They don't believe that Q is real, but they never understood it. You know, you can't deny something if you don't know enough about it. You know, if you just look at it a little bit and say, ah, that's crazy, you know, or whatever you want to think about it, well. You can't argue the point because you don't have the knowledge. You have to look at all sides involved in order to make a decision in whatever it is that you're doing. So if you want to know, and I'll tell you what, truth is self-evident. Our country was created on that principle. It's a biblical principle. Truth is self-evident. And it just takes time. Just listen. And after a while, you see the consistency. If you see inconsistency, if you see contradictions and different problems of that type, then obviously there's a problem. But truth will always be consistent. So that's what you want to look for. But anyway, we've got two pages on that if you don't know about it. Devolution is in play. I don't know when it's going to really happen. I mean, it looks like it's coming to a head. I think it's going to come to a head sooner than the 24 election. It may hold off until next year, but I think before the 24 election, we're going to have some serious problems on American soil. As a matter of fact, I think we're starting to have problems on American soil right now. We saw that with the videos we've been playing here earlier on. And, so there are tripwires, I understand. I know Q mentioned something about a tripwire that it hits a certain event, and then that's it. We're just going to go deal with the problem. But they do have a plan, and anybody following the Q board, and again, it's being interpreted by individuals that have some privy to a certain knowledge or have a background in the different information. And Q is not something that's recently created. This goes all the way back, we know, at least to Lincoln's day. And even before that, we heard. So Q's been around for a long time. It has to do with military intelligence. So anyway, I don't know. Now is the time for education, though. You see, now is the time to prepare to take these positions. Now is the time to prepare your committees of safety. Now is the time to educate yourself. And every single committee of safety, hopefully, should have at least one person that has taken the court access and the common law course. Because if they've taken that course, then they can be an advisor to you on the legal issues. And they can assist you or do something in the courts. They'll have the understanding, the authority in the courts, and understand how due process works and how the process of the court, which is due process, how the process of the court works. And, of course, we'll always be here for advice and information, too. And any question we can answer, we'll find it and get back to you on it.
Thank you, John.
Okay. Thanks, Brett. Okay, we'll take our next individual. Ricardek.
Hey, big guy. I just got
What's your first name and your state?
Richard, North Dakota.
North Dakota. Okay, Richard, you got the mic.
I just got a, while I was listening, we got a message from the Weather Channel that we've been hit by a solar flare. And the Northern Lights is kind of what, then it goes into the magnetic pulse type thing that's going on. Yeah. I just got that from the Weather Channel here about 20 minutes ago. I'm going to try and click on it, but it'll just cut me off of this call, so I didn't go anything. But it was just a drop-down menu that said that we've been hit by a solar flare. So.
Well, usually if they're a mess, well, maybe you're just getting it late, because they do come out 24 hours. We know 24 hours before it hits the Earth because it doesn't move at light speed. But we see what's going on, and it takes about 24 hours to actually hit the Earth, and then they make the calculation whether it's going to hit the Earth and what part of the Earth is going to be hit, if the whole Earth is going to be affected, how strong it is. I mean, there's a lot of information that needs to be gotten. But I'll tell you, solar flares are a big danger. We've protected everything we have here at NLA. We've protected our website with an EMP. A protector, whatever it's called, I forget what it's called, a device. We've got, these little bags that you can buy at Amazon. They're EMP bags, and you can put hard drives in it. I have two hard drives on my desk in those bags, and I got one in my closet, big bag with other hard drives and, my laptop and so on. But anything that's plugged in, if you have an EMP protector in your house, it goes down on the electric board. It's very, very simple to install. If you're not an electrician or don't have the knowledge, it'll be no more than an hour. It's like a half hour not even a half hour. It's a 20-minute job to install it.
Okay.
The thing is if you have a laptop and it's plugged in, if you have a computer and it's plugged in, and if your TV is plugged in or any of your electronics plugged in, everything in that house is protected.
Okay. So she's putting in a blank. I have a cloth. It looks like a cross stitch cloth, and I got it from Temu.
From who?
Temu. Temu. Yeah. And I thought, well, okay, I got it, and I put put my cell phones in it, and you absolutely can't get any signal, at least for the 5G.
Yeah, I don't know if that's
that's the same.
An EMP protected them.
Yeah, that I don't know. I have no idea. I just know that it does block 5G from going in. As long as you got it in there, it will not accept a signal. You will not get it. As soon as you take it out, and then your phone will connect up with it again. So I thought that's kind of cool. And one of the writers that bought it lined their cap with it. You know, their stocking cap or their baseball cap with it, so that their brain isn't getting exposed to it. And then there was another one. It was from Australia scientists that when you have your phone plugged in to charge a battery, it's emitting a whole bunch of a magnetic field, and it's almost like a foot away from you. And they were saying don't be on your phone and having it plugged into the charger because it's emitting a whole bunch of 5G frequencies, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, well, God dang, I mean, they got us everywhere we can go, but that little boxing. But that's on the website you said that's on there where we can find out more about that?
Are you seeing the video that I have playing, you know, the website here?
Yep, I can see it right now.
On the right-hand side of a website, and you should find this pretty much on every page, you'll see EMP solar flare protection.
Okay, all right.
EMP and a solar flare protector. If you click on that, you'll get into the information. You know, thoroughly go through this information. It gives the report. It gets into the military report, the individuals who created it. It shows you how to hook it up. It's a very simple hookup. And you have the individuals that are manufacturing this that were contracted by Trump, the government. This guy is one of the partners, I believe, with the corporation that took on the contract to create the protection of the grids, the entire grid. And it's already protected now. Our grid is protected with EMP protectors, but houses are not. It doesn't cover the house. And they're selling the house protection. So
I had put a question last week on, I had found, I got this from a trucker, that whenever he signs any kind of contract, he always signs it with under 1-308.
Mm-hmm.
It has something to do with protection under protest without reservations. And it's a performance or acceptance under reservation of rights. Are you familiar with that? I got
basically what they're saying is I'm maintaining all my rights. I'm not signing any of my rights away. Pretty much is the bottom line of what they're trying to do. People use it in a lot of places. They fear in a lot of places. You know, they think, well, you know, for instance, you have a driver's license that they have to put something onto that, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
You know, they put us in a box in so many different ways. But look at the ultimate. You can't. Our rights are inalienable or inalienable.
Yeah,
same thing. Inalienable. They can't take them away. You can't sell them. You can't transfer them. So they can't. They can't take them away anyway.
I had come across. It's a legal aid thing. My wife works for a company here, Marvin Windows. I don't know if you're familiar. They're a nationwide company.
Very familiar with Marvin Windows.
And they got some really good benefits. But one of the things we just got signed up
for. Good product, too. So we're good.
It was a legal aid thing. When I signed up for that, it was like $10 a month. And they had all kinds for helping with a will, helping with lease issues, you know, landlords and all that. That's all in there. And I don't know, have you ever heard anything like that? Are they worth getting into? I thought, well, can't hurt.
Well, yeah, they're bar attorneys that run
right.
it. And, low grade to begin with, but you can get higher grades. But the low grade, but they complete the job. I've had them for many, many years.
Cool.
I'm trying to think what, I forget the name of it, something legal, prepaid legal, I think it was called.
Yeah.
That's what it was, prepaid legal. And I thought there was a pretty good service. It was very inexpensive.
Okay.
And whenever I had a ticket, I'd give it to them, and they always got it squashed, thrown out.
Yeah.
So I don't know how they did it, but they did it. And, you know, so they're good for a lot of little things. They're good for putting a will together. That's part of the plan. A lot of good things. So they can be good. Okay. They can be something that'll be helpful.
Now, did you have any opportunity to look at that one on 18 U.S.C. 100, the False Statements Accountability Act, Part B?
No, I haven't. Can you give it to me again?
It's 18 U.S.C. 1001, parentheses, B, parentheses. B as in boy.
Right, B. Okay, so 1001B.
It's 18 USC 1001B.
Yep, yep.
And okay. I had sent out what I had. I got it from American Intelligence Media a couple of years ago. And they dug this thing up, and I thought, how are these guys lying all the time and getting away with it? Well, Clinton and company got this thing together where they can lie. That's why they do it. And that's why they're saying to Mike Lindell, we don't go online. We don't go online. We don't go online. You know, the voting machines. All they have to do is just keep lying and nothing happens to them. Mm-hmm. But is that something that a citizen's grand jury could deal with and say, you know, I don't care if you lie or not, you're guilty, period. And if they indict him?
Well, I'm not sure. I was kind of looking this up at the same time. I'm not sure.
But yep.
In 1 and B, you're looking at subsection does not apply to a party, to a judicial proceeding, or that party's counsel for statements, representations, writing, or documents submitted by such party or counsel to a judge or magistrate in that proceeding. And it starts off with statements or entries generally. So except as otherwise provided in this section, whoever in any matter within the jurisdiction to the executive, legislative, or judicial branch of the government of the United States knowingly and willfully falsifies, conceals, covers up by tricks, so on and so forth. I'm somewhat familiar with this. We do use it. I'm not sure. I think there's another one that's similar to this, and we do use it. Makes any use of false writings and so on and so forth.
Okay.
Let's see. Now, what was the purpose you were thinking to use it for?
Well, it's North Dakota quotes that statute, that the A part, but they don't quote the B. And that American intelligence media, you know, Mike McKibben and his group of people found this law. And you and I could use it too until they rescind it. And when Roger Stone was going through his stuff, all they do is just claim that act and lie, and he was accused of lying. Ain't nothing you can do about it. But
well,
I just
the problem is we use a lot of the codes against them. We've got lots of cases going, and we use the codes against them all the time. But they change the rules as they go, just by the whim. I mean, they don't literally change them; they just change it in that courtroom. They ignore them. They decide not to execute them or prosecute them. But unless it's for their benefit. So anytime you go into the court up against the status quo, you know, they're not going to comply with you. They're going to break every rule that they put together, you know.
All right. But would it work for, like, I signed my lease because I've been having problems with it. She, you know, under contract law, many years ago when I took law classes under a contract, it's an agreement between two parties to perform.
Yeah.
If either one breaches that agreement, the agreement is null and void, and it can't be enforced. And the landlord is just constantly breaching her own lease. And I'm not going to get into the details of that, but this last time I renewed every annual, I put that 1308. I'm not going to give them my rights, because one of the things she said to her, we were fighting over the
lease. You don't have to do that. You look at it's pretty simple. When someone breaks a contract, if it's nothing, not a big thing, but they broke it anyway, they violated it in some way, you know, you keep a logbook on that. And you turn that into an affidavit, then they have to defend it. Do you want to get whatever proof you can, pictures or whatever the case, other witnesses, details, in order to maintain evidence, in order to prove it in a court? Usually you go into a court when you're going up against an individual to individual, you know, courts, they don't give you too big a hard time, and they allow you to get through the process. And if you're looking for a jury trial, you can get into the jury. Or if you're looking for, you know, the judge to make a decision, you can go that route too. But the thing is, it's when you go up against status quo that you have a problem. Now, there was a case that I had very early on where, as a contractor, and I went up against to sue an individual I did work for, and he was an accountant. Turned out, and I found out after the court case, that the accountant actually was the judge's accountant. So I lost that case, and I scratched my head about that, and I just didn't understand why. But then I found that out, and now I understood why. But generally, that's not going to happen too often.
Well, in my case with it, I am keeping record of everything. What I did is it's a townhome. It's not an association meeting. It's just a property manager. And there's four units connected together, and there's five of these four units. And so part of it was she was doing it. We were supposed to have the lease. The utilities, the electricity, the heating, and the city water, sewer, and garbage in our name.
Uh-huh.
And she checked the box on it. My wife was standing there. We witnessed the whole thing the first time we moved in. And she said, well, when it comes to that part, it checked the box on the lease that I'm responsible to get this in my name before I can even get a key. Well, I got the key, and she said, I'll take care of putting it in your name. She never did. And I kept asking for the bill. Where's the bill? Well, it's in your property management account. No, mm-hmm. No, no. My lease says I got to have it in my name. I went down to the court, to the city, office, and they said it's in the landlord's name. You can't put it in your name. Mm-hmm. So I went back there with that. I said, well, when you give me a bill for what I've used for water, because she told us, because we asked, okay, what is that city water sewer garbage bill typically? She says right around $50 a month. It has never been $50. It's always been $80, $90, $100, $120.
Yeah, there may be some fraud going on. Anyway, to discuss
so
this.
Can I claim like fraud? Then she tried to blackmail me. She tried to threaten to have me evicted. So the thing is go to the courts. If she tries to do that 3-day, here in North Dakota, they can evict you if you don't make your rent or whatever. But the lease, the rent, I've always paid that on time. But I started doing separate checks. And she was charging me late charges because I didn't pay that utility bill. So I'm not going to pay the utility bill until I get a... My lease says my unit is what I'm responsible for. You're billing me for everybody's unit, and you're dividing up by four. That's what I found out she was doing. And I said, I'll pay for everybody else's water.
Richard, hang on a second.
Yeah.
If you want to discuss this further, we should do it on a regular Monday night meeting.
Okay.
We want to try to stay as focused as
but
we can.
But I'm just wondering, like, for this case of doing that 308 thing, I'm not giving up my rights. Because she said, you signed the lease. Well,
and it's not necessary, I don't think, in many, many places. I mean, it doesn't hurt, I guess, to do it, but it's not really necessary.
Well, especially in the income tax thing. That was another thing to do it on that.
Why don't we pick this conversation up next week or the week, whenever you come, another week. But, you know, on the first Monday of the month, we want to try to stay focused if we can.
Yep. Well, I'm trying to get to this counties of safety. What leads me up to, can the committees and counties of safety also deal with things like this?
Well, they can solve a lot of problems. It depends. Not necessarily with a lease, but a problem with a bureaucrat.
No, but I'm just...
Yeah, well, a problem with a bureaucrat or something like that,
right.
Yes, the Judiciary Committee should help you as best as they can from at least a logical perspective. The more knowledge they have, of course, the better it is. But they should be able to help. And if they can't get a solution, then they would push it out to the administrators within that county that they have a connection with who should be those administrators, should be members of the Committee of Safety. So there's no conflict of interest there. And so they would probably be good ones to sit also on that board. But the thing is that the administrators, you know, they can make calls on behalf of an individual to the bureaucrat and, you know, and really literally if they have to get to the point to command them to do the right thing. And if they still refuse, then they can bring it to whatever jury's in session at that time and ask them to intervene. And then we can make the phone call and empower them to go out into the office of whatever this individual, whatever the bureaucrat is, and dig up information, look into their computers, find out what's going on. And that's the power and the authority there. And this is government by consent. We are the owners of this country, this nation, and we need to exercise our rights. We need to understand what our rights are. You see, if you don't have this knowledge, that's because you don't know the law. And I'm talking about common law. I'm not talking about civil law, which is boring and will put you to sleep. You know, I'm not talking about that stuff. I'm talking about the law that you can apply. And law ultimately is common sense. Common law.
Okay, so my question now that I'm kind of leading up to is, what level of expertise? Now, I'm going to try to get a committee of safety going here in Fargo, North Dakota. And I got some names from you, from some of the other surrounding communities. Supposedly there's one here in Stetson County, another person I'm having to contact him. But here's my question. What level of expertise should someone like me who's trying to get these things organized, what level of expertise should I need? What should I need to know to organize and to invite people in to do it? So how would I approach that part of it?
You just have to have, look, it's very simple. Being a person that has an interest to deal with the problems and fix these problems, and it's all common sense. You look around, you see the problems. You come together. Many people come together with different mindsets, different perspectives on life, different ways of looking at things. Many hands make light work. What one doesn't know, another one does know. And you work together as a group. You do the best you can. The key thing is getting educated collectively. You know, one person may have the interest of dealing with the schools. Another person may have the interest of dealing with the political side of things. The other one on the educational side of things with the schools, of course. And then, of course, another one might be with the judicial side of things. And there are other committees that could be created. You know, I just put the most important ones that need to absolutely be put together. But again, you know, if you come to our website, you'll get all the education you need, everything you need to know to have a committee of safety, to exercise your right, And again, I wrote two books. One of them is Government by Consent. That is a key book. I mean, you can get that book and read through the book, and you get a lot of knowledge out of that for, you know, exercising your right of government by consent. Court access in a common law that gives you the understanding of what due process actually is. And they're very thick books with a tremendous amount of information. And then, of course, the courses we have. So, again, look at you don't, no one has to be an expert in these things. Some people will want to be. Some people will dig in and really do some heavy-duty research and studies and go through it and be able to articulate well after a while. Those people will emerge, and they'll become really valuable people to the committee because they can get advice from this one or that one, get counseling on whatever it may be. But if everyone is doing something and educating themselves little by little, moving through the process, again, collectively, many hands make light work, and you'll figure all the problems out. And again, you may have some basic appreciation of what needs to be done, but still lack something, and you come here to the meetings, and you can ask the question. We can help you with some advice and thoughts, and we can always research out the things we don't know.
Would it be a good thing just to get the common law handbook for jurors, sheriffs, bailiffs, and justices, and the sheriff's handbook, and just get familiar with that?
Absolutely. Look at I'll tell you what, you want to become real powerful really quick in understanding the law. I would say the best thing to do is to go under your start a committee of safety, tab here, come down to handbooks, videos, and tools, because you can download all this stuff for free. You don't have to buy it. Or you can buy the handbook if you want off of Amazon. But you can download them in PDF form. And two of the things I would say everyone should read, and maybe read right away because it gives you a real good understanding of common law in the courts as far as a mindset is concerned, the liberty that we are truly under. And that would be the Pettigrew Handbook, which is one. This book is 41 pages, so it's not a really a long book, but it's pretty powerful. It really lays out the powers and the authority of that jury. Then, of course, that's the Pettigrew. And we also have a grand jury handbook. That's a 30-page book. And again, it's focused in on the same kind of stuff, but it's focused in from the standpoint of a grand jury and opposed to a trial jury, which is a pettigrew. So those are two powerful handbooks, okay? But there are other handbooks here, you know. Again,
well, the one that I have in my hand is a common law handbook for jurors, sheriffs, bailiffs, and justices. Would that be enough to get started? Just for me now.
Yeah, I have what that book I wrote, but and it's being sold by someone else, and I haven't been able to stop them, and they're making money off of it. Amazon's not being cooperative, and I don't have time to sue everybody. I have to sue Amazon for the information, the details, and then go find a person and chase them down. You know, it's a problem. So someone's selling my book, and they've just, stole it. But I did write another book, which is an upgrade on that book, and it's far superior in my opinion anyway. And that's the Sheriff's Common Law Handbook. That book.
I have that one too.
That's the one I wrote. I think it's a good, powerful one. And I think there's another one in here we have. Question is, let's see. No, not here, but there is another book. Go under welcome, come down to books by John Duresh. The Committee Man Handbook, the Committee of Safety, Founding Documents of the United States. That brings everything together. It's a nice pocket handbook. County Sheriff, Common Law Handbook. That's a good one. Common Law Handbook for the Grand Jury, the Pettigrew, I mentioned that. Common Law Court Handbook. This is a pretty good handbook also because this is good for in court because it's got a lot of different statutes that are controlling statutes for controlling bureaucrats, particularly judges and officers of court. So it's got a lot of equity quotes in there as far as legislation is concerned for the control of them. And maybe a lot of different information that's helpful when you're actually in a courtroom and you're trying to get some information together.
So the Sheriff's Handbook, the Founding Documents Handbook, and then the Common Law Court Handbook?
Yeah, if that's where your interests are, those are good. All of these books I wrote. I wrote all these handbooks. The one that you mentioned, which is a common law handbook for, what was it, sheriffs, judges, and court, I forget what else.
It doesn't list an author in here. It doesn't say, there's no copyright information in here or nothing. It just...
It's a pocket handbook, correct?
Yeah.
You'll find it. Well, there isn't. You look in the front, it's copyright on it. And if you look in the front, a page or two. And like I said, that book was stolen off the website and was sold.
Well, I'm sorry, but there is no copyright information in here. I'm looking in the front cover, the front page, the second page, the third page, the fourth page, fifth page. I went to the back page, so I'd be in there.
Well, where'd you get the book? Amazon?
I got it off of Amazon, yeah.
Because they won't sell anything that's not copyrighted. I'm surprised.
So it just says Made in USA, Moni, Illinois, 24 July, 2023. There's a barcode on it.
Well, that barcode has something to do with the copyright. See, I got one here, Common Law Handbooks for Jurors, Sheriffs, Bailiffs, and Justices. Okay, that's another handbook I've got.
That's
up there.
The one I have. That's the one.
Okay.
I have.
Well, if you look on the first page, as soon as you open it, it says Copyright 2014 National Liberty Alliance, printed in the United States of America, and it's got an ISBN number.
Well, nope.
Do you see the first page?
It must be time to move on.
It's not there. Not there. Okay, well.
All right, well, we'll talk another time on it, because we do have some people in the queue.
No, I understand, but I'm getting at that. So you didn't know this, but there's no copyright in here.
Okay. All right, thanks, Richard.
All right, bye.
Okay, let's take our next caller here. It is Joyce. What's your state, Joyce? You got the mic.
Hi there. I'm from Minnesota. My name's Joyce Lacey. And as you were saying, all those common book handbooks aren't any good when you get put in a fraudulent for-profit abusive guardianship conservatorship. My mother was, and she was medically kidnapped, trafficked 215 miles to a negligent nursing home, drugged continuously. She was alert. She was not incompetent. She was active, volunteering. Anyway, it was a nightmare. They killed her in 4 months. They put her in hospice with no terminal illness, and we couldn't fight it. And I think you probably have heard of Joanne Bogalis. She fled with her mother to Greece, and they've been living there for like 6 years now. Her mom's still alive. They gave her mom 2 months to live, same type of thing. And she can't come back to America because now there's a warrant for her arrest. She's a Marine, a veteran. And the mother was a nurse, and she can't even get her pension or anything. The guardian's keeping it all. It's a nightmare. And I'm sure you've heard of Roger Hillegas and what he's going through. But anyway.
I'm very familiar with a lot of these types of cases, and we've had.
Yeah, and well, I tried for 4 years to get a bill passed in the Minnesota legislature. We had two different file numbers, one in the Senate, one in the House, every 2 years. And it was basically just to enforce the Bill of Rights for wards of the state. Unfortunately, none of them passed because a lot of the people are given campaign finance donations. So I decided I'm going to run for governor. So I did. And even running for governor, it was like tooth and nail. I wasn't even allowed to be part of the debate because they didn't want this guardianship reform out there, nor did they want campaign finance reform out there. So I was silenced. It was basically totalitarianism. And now I've actually been asked to run for U.S. Senate against Amy Klobuchar, and not on the Republican ticket, however, and I don't think I would because our Republican chairperson is very liberal, and basically he decides on one person, and he won't allow anyone else to speak, and he doesn't want anything mentioned about guardianship, conservatorship. I think he may maybe he's a fiduciary or something making money off of it. Anyway, so I'm right now in the process, and I really could use the support of, some of the members and maybe your help, too, because I have the same values as Trump.
What I would suggest is this, is you go up to our directory here. You're on a phone, so you're not seeing what I'm doing, but this is videotaped and, recorded, and it will be under Charter Committee of Safety under National Monthly Meeting, so I'll probably post this tomorrow sometime. But under the directory, if you click on the directory, you'll see the United States, and you'll be able to come down and choose your state. What state are you in again?
Minnesota.
Minnesota. Okay, so if you click on Minnesota, what's your county?
Grant.
Grant County. Okay, we don't have anyone that has, well, has, let me see. Yeah, no one in Grant County that has started. We've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 committees of safety in process in Minnesota. We have a total of 188 members in the state. We have, there's a total of 87 counties. And
I'm a member too, but I'm just in a smaller county.
What you could do if you want is you can open up, or you can come in here and sign up and put your name up here. We give only, the only information we give is the county, first name, and phone number. And so when people coming in and they're looking in their county to see that you'll be the contact person, and you can help form the committee of safety. And I don't think it's a conflict of interest, even though you want to run for office, to be involved in the committee of safety. But in any event, the committee of safety, as it gets constructed and built up, you get the people, you get members, and the whole point is to support people that are going to support the Constitution and put them into power. And that's the whole point.
Right.
That's one of the major points of the committee of safety. There are two power structures in the United States, in our country. Two power structures. If we take them both back, we take everything back. One is the political process, the other is the judicial process. We take those power structures back, we have liberty again. Right now, in the courts, the Constitution is not adhered to. It's null and void. As a matter of fact, one of the first things they did in the rules in Apling Act, when they gave them the power, the authority to write their own rules, did that in 1938, one of the first things they did in Rule 2 was abrogate the common law and replace it with Babylonian law called civil law. So that's where we're at.
Right, and there is no way that a human being should be put in probate court and made into a piece of property, and that's what's happening in guardianship and conservatorship. That's how they're getting such easy access. I had a representative and a senator that had asked them about making a bill to do away with Marty Oakley. I'm sure you've heard of her. She was from Minnesota. She was trying to help me on this, but no, the bill writers said they will not take guardianship and conservatorship out of probate court, and that's a major, major problem because
it's
modern-day slavery.
You're up against the whole system here. There's too much money in that, and they're not going to get
that. Yeah, isn't
that
horrible? I know.
I don't want to get too much deeper into this kind of a situation on tonight, but you can come back maybe next Monday or any Monday really. But on the first Monday, we want to try to stay on point if we can. And but of course, we do need to discuss things at least briefly on what comes up on these kind of
Right. It's just this has to do with freedom, and it could happen to anyone, because right now they're going after elderly and disabled, and who's to say who's next? You know, especially with depopulation on the fringe. Anybody that owns any land or has any savings, they could be a prospective, victim. And the thing is, you only need 40 hours of training to be a quote-unquote professional guardian. 40 hours. Isn't that crazy?
Well,
no GED, no college degree, and you can take advantage of people like that. It's so horrible.
Mm-hmm. Well, absolutely. Look, we have a lot of cases that are connected with exactly what you're talking about. Probate court is an evil court, and they've gone far beyond the authority that we've given them. But all these courts have gone far beyond the authority. And they've stolen children, they've stolen parents, they've stolen... Even when there are people in the family that are taking care of the business, they find out about it. If they got some money, they're going to come in and they're going to steal it. And there's a game going on.
Exactly. Exactly.
So.
It's criminal is what it is, and they're getting by with it. It's basically modern-day slavery. And it's like organized crime made legal through the probate court system.
It is organized crime. It's exactly what it is. All right, well, anything else? We've got to move on. We've got a couple more people in the queue.
Sure, thank you. Thanks so much.
Right,
and if you can help me at all with my running for the Senate, I'm hoping to overtake Amy Blitt, but that is a huge feat, so I'm not sure how it's going to go. But
well, we can talk more about this during next week or whatever. Like I said, the first Monday we don't want to get too involved in cases. What we're looking to do is part of the conversation. What we need to have is people who want to run for office that will understand the Constitution. One of the things we're trying to teach people, if you want to support someone that's running for office, you need to require them to take the court access and the common law course, because that will teach them everything they need to know to teach the Constitution, the common law, the difference between the rules of the court and the common law rules. You know, we teach everything, the process, the procedures, the paper writing, it all. So, but lawyers, you know, not lawyers, but people who are running for office, they need to know this. And lawyers that, because once we get rid of, because we're going to sue the bar for treason and many things.
Oh, yeah.
There are problems with the bar. And we're going to combine that with the federal judiciary. So it'll be one lawsuit in one, and we're going to sue the entire federal judiciary. But once we go through that process, you know, lawyers need to leave the bar. When they need leave the bar, they need to understand common law. They can come here to learn it, you know. But I don't know.
Right, exactly.
But we have a very in-depth.
Yeah, it doesn't do any good to even report an attorney that took your case. And basically, she was on the board for MAGIC, which is the Minnesota Association of Guardians and Conservators. So mm-hmm. She was basically stabbing me in the back and taking my money and nailing my mom's coffin shut. And I reported it, made no difference. I mean, it was a total conflict of interest. She didn't tell me she was on the board of MAGIC. And I found out a year later from another person. So I cannot believe. You be very careful who you trust if you get an attorney. Be very, very careful.
I don't trust any attorney. So, all right. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, smart. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you.
All right, you too. Thank you. Okay, next
Thank
person.
You.
We only have a couple more people in the queue. So, is that Adrenia? Adrian, maybe.
Adrian, yes. Can you hear me?
We can hear you. Go right ahead. What state are you in?
I'm in Florida.
Okay. Adrian, how do you pronounce your name?
Adrian.
Adrian from Florida. Go right ahead.
So I was listening to you talking about the courses, and I just signed up for the jury administrative thing, and I also signed up to be like a contact, maybe starting a committee, because there's nothing in Brevard County. I'm in Brevard County specifically. But was I understanding right? Because I did the $5 a month thing, but I didn't see where I could access like the court access.
A premium member is someone given $5 a month or more, and we only have a few things that we require people to be a premium member to get access to. But you know, some people are really in trouble economically in the sense that maybe they're on Social Security limited, and you know, we'll help them out, you know, whatever we can do to help them get an education. But generally, it's only $5 a month or more, and it supports us. But everything should open up to you at that point. You should be able to get access into all the courses here, all these courses. Okay.
I do have access to everything except for one, and it's trying to tell me that I owe maybe like something like $125 course or something.
And that's the court access and the common law course. That's a 90-hour course. You know, you go through that, you'll know everything you need to get into a court and work your paperwork, how to process work, to go through discovery, to understand the whole system. So I gave a course, and this course is $125. It's the only course that we're really charging for. Okay, but like I said, we do have two courses that we ask that people be premium members, $5 a month or more. But this course here was a live course. It was recorded. And just to give you an example on this course, let's see, once you sign up for this course, you'll get these two pages. People don't see these two pages unless they're signed up for the course. And one of them has all the recorded videos for the course. The other one has a table of contents. So just looking at the table of contents will give you a little bit of an understanding of everything we cover into this course. So, you know, we go through introduction, grand jury, word formatting, law dictionaries, founding documents, founders quotes, U.S. Supreme Court decisions, the codes, acts of Congress. We have copies of the state constitutions. We didn't necessarily go through those, but they're there and available. We have a glossary, footnotes. We have other illegal information. We go through the pleadings, how the process works. We go through sharing how to do a cause, you know, what causes of actions are, your evidence, your affidavits, affirmative defenses, all kinds of motions, the forms, memorandums of law, maxi. I mean, this is a really in-depth course. Everything you need to know to understand the court system, how it works, how to do all the paperwork, it's all there. So that is the, this here, again, on this page, gives you the table of contents. Now, the other page gives you access to the course itself, okay? This is the page, and you do it whenever you can. You know, it's all videos, and it's the whole course is about 90 hours long. So each one of these videos, you know, goes through the process and lays out the information that you saw in the table of contents.
Okay, yep. So I've seen the table of contents. I guess I just didn't maybe have the link set up. But are you saying, I saw all those, but it is $125, correct?
This is the only course we sell for, we charge that kind of money, yes. This is $125.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Okay. And I thought at first maybe you said it was free. And then I was also, I guess that's all I have right now.
Just a quick note. On the bottom of this, we have all the audio recordings of all the videos up here. So once you watch the videos once, this is what I suggest, at least watch the videos at least once. Once you do that, you can put this into your MP3 player or whatever you use, and you can listen to it when you're driving or doing something mindlessly that you can listen to this, because that will help to instill, bring in memory, reminder, and you become better and better at it. But I'll tell you, we teach more in this course than you'd learn if you went to law school. Although law school will teach you stuff that we don't teach because we don't get involved in it, because we don't teach civil law. We just teach common law and the processes of the court, which is procedure and proper.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay. Welcome to National Liberty Alliance. Let me shut that off. Okay. We take our last caller here, Kathy. You got the mic, Kathy. Go right ahead.
Hey, John. Thank you so much. I was actually in the queue last week when you shut down, so I was so disappointed. I first off want to say that my friend Joyce Lacey, who called in from Minnesota, she's a very close friend of mine in this guardianship, this battle to end the guardianship racketeering scam. We all three spoke at a Senate hearing back in March of 2022. Joyce spoke first, and then that Joanne Bogalis, who's in Greece, fled with her mother, and me. So I'm going to have to get a hold of Joyce, and we're going to have to go to town. I've got some bad news.
You're good.
I got some bad news to share, and I really need your advice. I'm the one whose my husband was murdered.
I remember.
And so they've stolen the entire estate, $1 million estate, and now there's going to be a hearing on November 16th. There's a notice of motion and motion for attorney's fees. They will, of course, the judge will rubber stamp it. There's no question about it. So, at that hearing on the 16th, I'm going to end up paying for my husband's murderer's attorney's fees, both Angela and Brian. So I really would like some advice from you. Just to recap, and what is it called when you sue your lawyer for failure to properly represent you? My lawyer in Iowa, he withdrew without my permission or without my knowledge, and so the Iowa courts threw out our probate that we filed well in advance of the Irvin's children filing in Minnesota. So what recourse do I have to go after the attorney who cost me this $1 million estate? He withdrew and without my permission or knowledge, and there was a hearing on that bogus traffic situation where someone accused me, some ICE, of blowing off my car and cracking her windshield. This has been going on since 2020. So there was a hearing on that broken windshield incident in Minnesota. The same day the hearing was in Iowa, and the Minnesota hearing said they could not continue it any longer. They absolutely refused to continue it, so I had to be in the hearing in Minnesota, and I requested a continuance in Iowa, but the judge denied my continuance, and he dismissed my probate case in Iowa. And so what would we have to do to go after that my attorney who withdrew without my permission or knowledge? Is that called just suing him for failure to properly represent, or what is that called exactly? Are you there, John?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I started talking. What you need to do is make sure you got all of your evidence secured, all of your documentation, anything, affidavits, anything you've turned into an affidavit, any evidence you can get, and then you have to figure out how it would go about it. I mean, I don't know that your incompetence is necessarily the problem. I think more fraud on the court is the problem. Remember,
right,
this is the court take an oath. Okay, every lawyer takes an oath. They're an officer of the court, and they take an oath to secure, you know, and uphold the Constitution, which they all lie because they then go under civil law and participate in a process that you know, under Rule 2 abrogated the common law, and under Rule 60 took away all the powers and the authorities of the sovereign by preventing them from doing any kind of a writs of error. Different writs that you can put to bring into the court. So that's what they did with the rules. They disempowered us. They took away our power, and they got rid of the law. So they're all in violation. They're all guilty of fraud on the court. But you're not going to be able to do much. You know, you've been struggling for quite some time in this thing. We've got to get you some ideas and thoughts. And, you know, you're up against evil. And you know, to get through this whole process is very difficult. You know, we did talk about moving it to federal court for cause, but that, you know, again, but you have to have that knowledge. And that's why, you know, if you took the course here, then you'll develop that knowledge eventually. But in order to go deal with this problem, you really got to wait until we get the courts of justice back. That's not going to be until devolution really is played out. And then that's when we're going to be going up against the courts, trying to bring them back into the common law process and to get rid of bar attorneys from the whole system, because they're the one that's destructive. But I, you know, again, you have to have knowledge. Now is the time for educating yourself. So if I were you, I would spend, you know, figure it's going to be a year before you can go into court to start to take this process back. You can be restored. I believe, as long as you can prove your case. And it sounds like you got lots of evidence. Everything they've done a lot of evil things. And again, the lawyers left because the judges threatened them. And
they didn't know
what to do, so they just left. And shame on them for not standing up. They took on the responsibility. They took an oath, stand up. Well, you know, they could run themselves into danger. That's true. They can lose their bar license. That's true. But either you're a stand-up person or you're not. And, you know, most people are weak under that kind of a situation, unfortunately. But anyway, I don't see that you're going to get anywhere until justice returns to the court. Justice won't return to the court until devolution plays out. And at the same time, you're going to go into the courts. I would say you need the knowledge of the process, and that's where the course. Go through the course. Be very careful. I know you're in the course. Be very careful to go through everything. Listen to it numerous times. Make sure you understand things. You can always come here and ask questions. And just prepare, educate yourself to do this. Now, you also could hire a lawyer. You know, we want to push this process so that lawyers are no longer bar lawyers. They're lawyers, and they're representing the people. They can be involved in equity, which would be on the equity side of the court, which is statutes and different things. You know, there are 57 jurisdictions on the federal level. Each one is an expertise in its own way. So lawyers have expertise in different things. You know, people working for Trump, for instance, I think it's USC 3, if I recall, which deals with the president. There's like 1,000 pages of information to go through to understand the powers and the authorities. And so he has those people as lawyers and advisors to give them advice. We need those lawyers. You know, so the codes are important for the purpose they were written for. If someone wanted to specialize in commercial law, then they'd go and look at the statutes that involved with that, if it was interstate or commercial within the state, whatever the case may be. But as far as the law for the people is concerned, it's common law. And that's what they need to learn, and that's what they need to get into. But the thing is, you still might want to get a counselor, you know, to go with you. You'd hire a person. But you have to take control of your case. And as long as you've got the education, understand how things work, you can have them write the papers, and you could take it and make it right and go through it because it's your case, okay? So, again, you can get a lawyer to assist you, but you should always never give up the power and the authority of the decision-making of your own case. And if the lawyer doesn't comply, you fire him and get another one. If you think you could do it without a lawyer, that's fine, too, you know?
No, I absolutely cannot do it without a lawyer, and we've been trying to find a lawyer. We've been focusing on, constitutional lawyers. We need a lawyer who's familiar with that we've been denied due process.
They're all bar attorneys. You're not going to find you could get lucky, but generally you're not going to find a lawyer that's not a bar lawyer. They can't practice law because, they have to be a bar lawyer to practice law in the civil law. My argument when I go into court, I'm not coming in here into civil courts. I'm coming into a common law court, and I lay it out in my paperwork. And besides that, there is a federal Next Friend, where you have the right to go in and represent yourself or others. You can represent a group of people coming in. So that's an argument you can make in the court. But the thing is, no matter what you do, you need to understand what your lawyer is doing. So even if you think that you can't do it, you should be able to understand what they're doing and realize when something is wrong, or they're doing the wrong thing, or they're writing the wrong papers, or they're going the wrong directions. You know, you can fix that problem then, but you can't fix it if you don't know that there's a problem. And the only way you're going to know that there's a problem is if you take the course. Now, I know that you're in the course, so just continue now, and then, you know, watch it, do it.
The hearing's on the 16th of November, John. That's just a little over a week away.
You're not going to get anywhere at that hearing. I don't see it happening. You know, you got.
Well, are you recommending I don't show up at the hearing, or what are you recommending?
Not at all. You can go and be in the court, and you can deny everything that they're doing and take the opposite position in that. But they're going to do what they want to do because that's what they do.
Here's the biggest thing that the
people not in the courts do not understand how serious the problem is. They have no clue. I'm going to be sharing two cases that I'm working on right now. When I did this course, I made the point that anything new comes up or anything that I can add to this course, I will do that. And I'm working on two cases. I think they're going to be coming to some conclusion soon. But the papers are powerful. We should win. I think when you read the papers, you'll see we should win. But the thing is they don't want us to win. But it's a battle. It's a chess game. You'll see it's a chess game between me and the judge. I mean, it is a game. They move this direction, you got to move that direction. They do everything they can. They threaten you. They do everything they can to get you out of the court, to make you shut up, and so on and so forth. But anyway, these are two cases in point that I want to put into the course. And as soon as I finish up on this, I will be adding them to the course. I'll put out a notification if people want to come and participate live, but it'll be posted when it's done up on the page, and you'll have two more cases. I think we have two cases that we gave cases in point, maybe three on the original course, but we'll have two more cases to add on to that.
Can I just tell you that every single hearing I've requested a continuance to see counsel, and the judge has not granted me a continuance. He's never given me a continuance. So each one of these hearings that they keep throwing out there, it's without a lawyer. And And he's lied, and he said in his orders that I agreed to represent myself pro se, and I absolutely did not ever say that. I said at every hearing I requested a continuance to seek counsel. So the judge is lying and saying I agreed to represent myself pro se. So how do I deal with that on the hearing on the 16th?
Again, you're up against organized crime. I'm telling you, people don't believe what I'm saying, but I know. I'm telling you, you are up against organized crime. You are not. I could tell you stories that down in New York City with shootouts and everything else over property and people trying to protect their property and they're being stolen by actual organized crimes in the streets. You know, more like the mafia type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the court system and the cops are all tangled in the whole thing. I could tell you horror stories that are really.
Don't I know it? I absolutely know that.
The thing is,
but
you can't get it done in the court. Occasionally, you get the right person. You get a judge that's trying to do the right thing, and you might get through. But you're not gonna get through on status quo. You're in a court that they're gonna win day in and day out because there's way too much money involved. Okay, this is a piggy bank to them. And every time they write a paper, every time they step in that court, every time they make a decision, I mean, it's cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. And they'll exhaust $1 million in a year easily. I mean, they just don't stop. And everything they do, you're paying for it. You know?
But can I just say that in I picked up this brochure last week in the courts. It says, when is probate necessary? Probate laws in Minnesota apply to estates of people who were residents of Minnesota at the time of their death. That's the issue. Irvin was not a resident of Minnesota. He fled to Iowa. He was absolutely a resident of Iowa. No questions. How do I address that? The Attorney General put out this packet. Should I call the Attorney General's office tomorrow and state that my husband was a resident of Iowa?
You can talk to if you're going to get somewhere with it, but once he looks into the case, he's going to be met with resistance and he's going to be told shut up and just, you know, ignore this person. And maybe I'm wrong on that, but that's generally the way. I'm telling you, our government is organized crime, okay? There's nothing wrong with the structure of our government. Everything we need is there, okay? But what they've done is they've turned everything upside down. They've created laws in order to abrogate certain things like the common law and abrogated the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. You know, people don't understand. It's not there in the courts no more. You can't get it. Occasionally they'll throw a bone at you and give it to you, but when you go up against the status quo, forget about it. You're going up against the probate court. It's the most powerful part of the whole court system. It is the biggest moneymaker of the whole court system. It is law breaking on steroids. So the only
I'm aware of that.
Only chance you have is to do what you can to deny whatever it is that they're doing. You should attend the court cases, of course. You're being required to, so you go there. And then on the other side of devolution, go in and get restored. But again, educate now. That's the only thing I could tell you. Educate now.
Same thing. Thank you, John.
Educate now. All right. Appreciate it. Thank you, Kathy.
Thank you.
Adrian, back again. Go right ahead.
Hi. So I wanted to say, I thought of my question earlier. The prosecuting attorney for the county, do they have an oath since they're elected through fraudulent elections? Do they have an oath?
Any person that is elected, appointed, or an officer of the court takes an oath.
So the prosecuting attorneys, though, they have these other ones that work below them, that they do it like they're not even, like they do it under him, basically, correct?
If you're a lawyer and you're in the court, you're an officer of the court, you have to take an oath.
To the people?
Yeah, to obey and protect the Constitution.
Okay, so that's I guess I've just been hearing other people.
Court right now, and I demand it, and I'm fighting with the judge. It's fighting me tooth and nail, and even sanctioned us because I'm dogmatic with this. I want your oath and your bond, and they're refusing to give it up. Okay, we'll get it through an appeal, but it's not going to happen on this side of devolution, I don't believe. If you get up,
I'm in the same situation. I'm in a case. I'm already in a court case. I think that I was on a call a while ago, and you told me to email you, but I didn't realize what call. I guess I thought I was on a different call. But anyways, I'm in a case right now, and in Brevard County, and it's all like over a bike light, and it's all just been so blown out. I did a suppression hearing.
Over what?
I had a bike light out on my bike. Like
okay, stop. So you're in a town court or a village court?
Well, I was riding my bike through a city,
right.
But it's gone even farther because then they did a search and they found marijuana and other things, and now it's like...
Those are all code violations.
Right, and I guess the judge is like the one I'm fighting. Just like you said, he's the one that I'm going back and forth with, and he's even told me so much as... that they're not even able, he's not even able to drop the, or dismiss the case anyways. You know, he doesn't have that authority because of the prosecuting attorneys, basically. And I'm representing myself in this criminal case.
Well, it's a code violation. It has nothing to do with you. That's your argument. I teach that.
Yep, and I've argued that.
Yeah, but you have to argue it the right way, and you got to put a threat in there. Look, last time I went into a code violation court, because I decided I'm not dealing with it no more. You know, usually I just write a paper, send it in, half the time I never hear back from these people. Those are usually for traffic violations. Last time I went in and I just told them, I'm not coming back here, you know. You don't have the power or the authority over me. You don't have personam jurisdiction. You may have subject matter jurisdiction, but you don't have personam jurisdiction. And therefore, if you want, and so there's no trial. I filed the papers. Nobody answered it. You defaulted. Your prosecutor defaulted on the papers to begin with. And I'm not coming back here. If you give me another date, I'm moving this to federal court for cause, and I'll see you there. The judge and the prosecutor went aside and started talking, blah, 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 and they came back and they dismissed the case. So you possibly could get it through, you know, with that kind of a thing. But you got to know what you're talking about, and you got to understand. And again, I cover that in the course, even the paperwork and everything. I mean, the paperwork is really kind of generic in the sense that you could just put your information in, the code that they're violating, and what it is that they're doing. It's all commercial stuff. It has nothing to do with it.
And I kind of realized all that, and I guess basically, again, the judge, I do file the papers. I don't get anything back in writing, like you said, but the judge kind of, like, answers to the whatever I'm stating, even though the prosecuting attorney should. I guess I'm just very frustrated, but maybe we could talk off this call if other people have questions and stuff. I know it's getting late.
Yeah, well, you're the last caller, and we're going to end it. But, yeah, why don't you come back next week, and we can talk a little more next week.
Okay, so well, really quick, I have my case coming up to where, it's just a docket sounding, but again, I can't ever get into continuance, and so should I go as far as I'm headed towards the trial, or should I try to do something before that? Because,
are you capable of doing these things? Do you understand the process and the procedure? Do you know how it goes along, how the motions work, and how you have to push your case along, and how discovery works? Do you know how
I've done discovery, and I've done a suppression hearing for, a search and seizure and other violations of my constitutional amendments or rights or whatever, but again...
So you have a basic background, but not formal.
Yeah, and I was a court reporter. I was a stenographer in the state of New York, so I do know a little bit about this process.
Yeah, you have a little more of an appreciation how things work. Okay, what I suggest strongly to you, again, is to take the course, court access in the common law course. Take that because a lot of the things that you're going to need to do, whatever blank spots you have will be filled in there. And you have to be able to come in and write the papers, right.
I did do jurisdictionary. That course, I did pay for that when I first was involved.
Okay, that's where I first started with jurisdictionary, too, yeah.
But I'm ready for, I need to figure out an easier way to, make my points, even, when I walk in the courtroom, because almost like a role-playing. I mean, I've been trying to do it with people, but I feel like I'm not able to be as specific as I need to be, like you were just stating, and just being more authoritative about it or something. I don't know.
Right. Well, you have to apply the law as you understand it and know it. And again, you get pushback from certain judges. You don't get that much from the town judges and the city judges, you might, but the town judges and the village judges, because they're totally ignorant to everything. And when you start to push back, they don't know who the heck you are, and they get they don't know what to do.
They've already moved me. I'm already now with the main guy, like the main judge. I can't even think of what they call him, like the one that's the administrative over the whole judge, all the judges or whatever. So
judge, yeah.
They've already put me through to him, and he's the fifth judge, you know.
And is this town, city, or county?
No, this is circuit. This is criminal because it led to that.
Okay, you're at a different level now. You're not in the lower courts now. You're moving into criminal court. Now you're on the county level or the state level, probably the state level, but it could be the county level. They have a little more authority. Things work a little different. They have more knowledge, and they will push you back. The other courts, the lower courts below them, normally they don't even know how to push you back.
I'm from New York, small town, so I can imagine because I've dealt with it up there. So different. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, and you have some appreciation from the inside working in there, so you have more information. But I suggest take the course, and that should fill in the gaps of information you're missing. Look, in writing papers, okay, you know, I've given a lot of examples in there, and I'm going to put more examples in there. You can use these papers as frameworks. I got like about 20 or 30 memorandums in there. They're chock full of stuff. I mean, we got footnotes, hundreds and hundreds of footnotes. You can go through, make putting footnotes on your papers, and just so much information. And then you learn to write by reading other people's papers. Okay, that's how you learn to write. And you want to read good papers. You know, you read the judges' decisions. That'll give you some good papers and information. I see how a lot of these lawyers respond and come in, and they're real. Look, one of the things I discovered, and these lawyers come in, and they will bring in information as if it's supporting them, and these people must be high on drugs, because I take it back and they say, yeah, I agree with that, but you misunderstand it because it really means this, and you make the argument. Matter of fact, one of the cases I'm going to, there's a case trying to be moved into another venue that I'm dealing with, and that particular case, okay, they came in with two codes and filled out papers and committed fraud on the court by changing the jurisdiction. So my response was, you know, I'm the plaintiff. I get to decide the jurisdiction. You don't. And my jurisdiction is constitutional. And I go into the Bill of Rights and I go for a seer there. Now, and this is on a state level, so it's a little better than going into the federal level. I might be able to win this case because it's on a state level. I'm in on with this case, and writing the papers, okay, I'm going to put this in, like I said, once I get it done, I'm going to put these papers into the course, and it'll be sort of an addendum to the course. So I got two cases to put in there, and it'll be helpful. But writing the papers require spending time reading other cases. And when you write your own papers, you write it in the best words you have. It doesn't matter. Even if you think the words are, you know, you can use better words, that's fine. Just write the papers down, get everything together, put it down on paper, and then you go and start looking through, your dictionary, your legal dictionary, and you start to find other words that you can use, and you just keep massaging your paper. You know, the key to writing a good paper is reading through and correcting at least 10 times. And I probably do my papers even more than 10 times. It's not perfect, but it's the best you can get to. And I think a lot of my writing is pretty powerful, I think. It's my perception. And
very time-consuming, though, like you say, to do all that, though, just mentally and, get it finalized. It's just really hard to do that. But I appreciate all your stuff. I don't know how I just am finding, so much on your website, because I do know National Liberty Alliance because we have a big group in Brevard County. If it's the same, I imagine it's the same group, and I can't believe there's no one that's involved on your website from Brevard County, because, I mean, I thought there was 100 and some people involved in that, so I'm really surprised.
In what county?
Brevard County, by the Space Coast.
Okay. Again, I don't, there are people who have come online and they've started committees of safety, but they're not coming to the meeting. They're not communicating with us. Unfortunately, we don't have enough people right now. We need to go professional. We're trying to go professional so we can actually hire people and really do the business we have to do.
But you guys, yeah. You guys have people that meet like in groups, though, like in person, right, in the areas?
Well, we're developing what's called committees of safety in every county, and each county committee of safety is free and independent. We don't tell them what to do. You know, they do what they think they have to do. That's, we want people free and independent. But in order to make good decisions, you need to get an education. You can't deal with the law if you don't know the law. You can't deal with the constitutional violations if you don't know the Constitution.
And people are so brainwashed. They're so propagated. It's hard to even know if you could even trust to hire people or to have people on your group, that because they still have these issues where they go the opposite way real quick. Like you're talking to them about something and then they forget. It's not the better for the status quo and all that. It's to uphold our rights. They just don't. I mean, it's hard to get them to get it.
Right. Well, look, again, you know, we do have some committees of safety that we've got information on that are going kind of rogue in the sense they're not following the program. They're creating committee safety and then just doing silly things. They're not going to get nowhere with it. People get frustrated and get tired of it and just go home after a time period. You know,
right.
You look at all of the different liberty groups that have been taking place since 2008, since the Ron Paul movement. There's been so many different liberty groups. And so many. Falling apart. Why? Because they can't keep doing the same thing over and over again. That keeps failing because that's insanity. So people eventually leave it and it falls apart. And so the only way you're going to make anything that works is to do something and have an education to do it. And you have to know what you have to do, what's the first order of business, how the process works. You have to really work at this. And again, you know, you get, 20, 30, 40 people and you build up to hundreds pretty quick if you follow the process we're giving. But the thing is the more people involved, the less work there is. Many hands make light work. So the more people involved, there's less work to do, but you'll get more work done. Everybody has to be willing to throw maybe 4 or 5 hours a month into this thing in order to have government by consent. If people are too lazy or don't want to get involved, well, don't expect to have government by consent. Don't expect to be able to have your rights protected. Don't expect to be able to understand how when you're being violated that you can't figure it out and fix it. You know, you either do it or you don't. We need to teach school. Children need to come out of school understanding due process and understanding the court system, how it works, and be able to walk in court and articulate themselves.
100%. I mean, even like private schools aren't even doing this. Like the Christian schools are not even implicating this. So that'd be a place to start anyways, because they might be quicker to, you know, be able to have a jump on it because they're not under so much regulations. But nowadays in Florida they are, but because of the funding. You know, they always want the funding. It's always about that dollar, the funding.
Committees of safety can take back every school in their county. They could take control of the board. They can require the board to do their will. There's a process to deal with these people and remove them from the board within 10 days if they refuse to do it. You have to have the sheriff on your side on this thing. That's why there's a process you have to go through. If you don't have the sheriff in your committee of safety, you got a problem. If you have a sheriff that's not willing to educate themselves, or if the sheriff is corrupt, well, then you got to work to get a new sheriff in there. You build whatever you can, you do what you can, and you start looking, and you get enough people together, you can remove the sheriff for a recall and put a new sheriff in there.
That's where we are in our county, and he's very Republican, but, you know, it's a lot of elderly, and so they put fear through all these different tactics about different things, and then they cause the elderly to just, you know, worship the ground they walk on, even though in a roundabout way it's going to come back on them. You know, it's, they're after everybody, not just, you know, the young or the, it's everybody, so.
Well, anyway, we teach all these things, so you can learn
them. Yeah, I appreciate y'all.
You need to learn them, and again, you know, it's up to the people to save America. But with that,
I appreciate it. Thank you.
We're an hour over, but appreciate the call. And you're the last person in the queue anyway, so we can go to sleep now. All right. Thanks, everyone, for coming. And we'll be here every week. We'll be back next week. We'll continue some conversations. But we will continue to focus in on the first Monday of the month in order to try to encourage and talk about issues and get more interaction on the issues and bring as many people from the committees of safety as possible to the meeting. So, all right. Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming.